Blog Talk Radio.
Take my love, take my land, take me where I cannot stand. I don't care, I'm still free. You can't take the sky from me. Take me out to the black. Tell them I ain't coming back. Burn the land and boil the sea. You can't take the sky from me. There's no place I can be since I found serenity. You can't take the sky from me.
The Encyclopedia Galactica as the standard repository of all knowledge and wisdom for two important reasons. First, it's slightly cheaper. And second, it has the words "Don't Panic" printed in large, friendly letters on its cover.
Don't panic, and good evening. You are live with Tex and Rex. Irreverent, relevant, and radioactive conservatism with a bite. I'm your host, Zaphod Beeblebrox, broadcasting from the deck of the Heart of Gold. Grab a glass of Pangalactic Gargle Blaster and enjoy the show. And don't forget your towel.
And this is Tex. I'm broadcasting from a table with a view from the restaurant at the end of the universe. The show's about to begin, thank goodness, so we can get all this craziness over with. So it's been one hell of a week, and people—it's not enough, I guess. That the week is interesting and eventful, and frightening and scary all at the same time, and then all this other nonsense. People inventing stories of what could or couldn't be happening, you know, coming up. I don't know. So here we are, another installment of the show, and gonna find out what's been going on this week. So I guess tee us up, Rex, and I think we should also let the audience know that this is a call-in show, a call-in friendly show where we're encouraging people to call in and let us know their thoughts about the events of the week.
Yeah, absolutely. If you want to share your thoughts about this week, which was obviously overshadowed by lots of explosions, some in Texas, some in Boston, a couple in D.C. Call in. The call-in number is 646-649-1013. That's 646-649-1013. You know, first thing to keep in mind is that, you know, the death of one person, especially for us, an American, is a horrible and tragic event. And especially when it turns out to be, quote, a terrorist attack. But whether it's a homicide, terrorist attack, false flag, you know, sting operation gone wrong, Muslim jihadist attack, whatever it might be, the real thing that matters is the aftermath. What do you do with this information? How do you react? what does the government do? I mean, generally you get these calls for, well, we've got to do something. We must bring these people to justice, and we must ensure that this will never happen again. Well, I mean, that's all bullshit. I mean, yes, you can catch them or kill them. You can bring them to justice, but you got to be careful what you mean by justice, because it can't just be revenge. And ensuring that this will never happen again? What are you, stupid? I mean, people will kill people all the time, no matter how much, quote, security lockdown you've got. So that's just a stupid proposition. We have to take measures to make it not happen again, or take away people's incentive to do these kinds of things. But you got to be real careful. You know, if you jump the gun with the whole, you know, the government can do no wrong, or that this is definitely a government conspiracy, you're not reacting with your head. You're reacting with a visceral reaction that is likely to cause you to not think straight and do stupid things, just like seems like Lindsay Lightness Loafers Graham and Senator Stale Moth John McCain are doing by demanding that this guy be treated as an enemy combatant. Hate to break it to you, but Johar Tsarnaev was an American citizen, has been for a long time, so he has rights. You might not like him. You might not like what he did. That's besides the point. If you take away his rights, then why should we let you have let you have yours? You know, if you just want to run around clubbing everybody with a stick because you don't like what they did, even if it is a horrible crime, then we have no rule of law. And speaking of clubs, Tex, we are joined by a common guest of the show with a club. Chris, you're live with Tex and Rex and Zaphod Beeblebrox. How you doing?
Are you reading the shit, excuse my French, that I'm reading? Oh, my God. You know,
I don't know. What are you reading?
I'm sorry.
I don't know, man.
I mean, speaking French.
It's just gone. You know, it's just like, you know, false flags. It was a stage. It was this. It was that. You know, they're
maybe
going off. They started... Yeah, but whatever. They started a site, you know, somebody started a new site for all the, you know, Fourth Amendment abuse because they searched houses. And I'm like going, man, people, come on. Focus. What's going to happen because of it is what you got to keep your eye on. And what are they doing right now in Congress while you're busy trying to figure out if the guy with his bone sticking out of his leg is real or not? You know, God,
yeah.
Oh, Lord, have mercy. Help me figure out.
Focusing
how to,
on the tiny details and all the massive, huge conspiracy stuff. Hey, I got a theory out there. I don't know if it's a conspiracy theory or not, but sometimes crazy people do crazy shit, and they don't need anyone to help them do crazy shit.
Well, I mean, let's be clear about a couple of things, guys. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead, Doug.
Yeah, well, case in point, there was also some, you know, nutcase sending ricin, right? He was just a guy in his house making ricin, or what he thought was ricin, and mailing it off to people. You know, and really, I got to say, who's got the time? You know, you're hanging around your house. It's like, I don't know. What I could do a lot of things this afternoon. I think I'm going to make some ricin. So this guy makes his choice completely on his own, you know.
He
and
does
here
Elvis,
we have another case.
Elvis stuff.
What's that?
He does Elvis impersonations.
Oh yes,
and, sorry. I didn't mean to mess up. Sorry.
Thank you very much. And he's also a registered Democrat. Just FYI.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
like all the last 15 shooters have been.
Yeah.
Anti. God, how come that never comes out in the news?
Texas, the guy in Austin, Texas, who crashed his plane into the IRS building. I mean, that actually was down the street from where I was living at the time. I was driving to my local Starbucks, and there's a big traffic jam. I'm like, what's going on here? And there's a plane crashed in. There's a guy who's a Democrat who upset about tax policy. So, you know, anyway.
Well, I thought Democrats wanted more taxes. I guess he found out it wasn't really the rich they were taxing, huh?
Yeah. Well, look, here's the thing, guys. You know, I put it this way, the whole, you know, as a card-carrying conspiracy theorist wearing a tinfoil hat, I will tell you that conspiracies, you know, are real. But I don't think that anybody who's looking for the truth to these conspiracies is doing themselves any favors by jumping to conclusions. okay, telling me that this is without a doubt a false flag. It is not without a doubt a false flag. I'm not saying that it's not a false flag. Maybe it is, but we don't have enough evidence to say it one way or the other. Now, unfortunately, our government is so inept, so incompetent, and so stupid that I doubt that they could pull off this false flag successfully in the first place. But besides the point, the fact is that they've laid the groundwork for this. In the last 10 years, we've had 20, quote, international terrorist attacks. Okay? Three of them failed because of
terrorists.
Right. Three of them failed because the terrorists were fucking idiots. The underwear bomber, who the fuck puts a bomb in their underwear? I mean, there's something wrong with you to do that. The shoe bomber. And the Times Square moron. You know, they were all just incompetent terrorists, and so their plots failed and they were captured. The other 17.
You know what we need? Rex, I'm sorry. You know what we need? We need a sphincter bomber.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I guess if you put a bomb in your underwear, we have a sphincter bomber. His name.
There's
a sphincter bomber.
Well,
we got a sphincter bomber. Joe Biden. That's your sphincter bomber. But seriously though, but 17 of those other attacks were essentially FBI sting / entrapment operations. So if you're going to do stuff like this, then you're only sowing the seeds of people thinking this is a false flag. And again, it's not like the U.S. government has never been involved in false flags before. And just to be clear, when we say government, you are not talking about a false flag bill that was deliberated in the House and then passed through the Senate and then reconciled and sent to the White House and signed and sent off to the CIA to implement. Okay, you're talking about a few psychotic elements that have infiltrated our government. Well, guess what? Every government's infiltrated by psychotic elements that might be communists or foreign nationals or spies. So, you know, these things do. Or Elvis impersonators. You know, there's apparently, a couple of douchebags that are impersonating congressmen and senators. In fact, I'd say that there were a lot of douchebags impersonating senators while y'all were paying attention to what's going on in Boston. And
what
the
about
House
the president?
Passed. Yeah, the Republican House passed the Cybernet Internet Security Bill to shut down all this conspiracy talk on the web. So, you know, were you paying attention to that? Did you notice that that happened? Did you call your senator and tell him, hey, don't pass this thing? No, you were too busy worried about the bombing. And let's be clear about something. The murder of one person is a horrible thing. It's a tragic loss, especially for the family, especially when they're innocent, okay? But here's the thing. This super terrorist attack killed three people and injured somewhere around 130 to 180 others. It's horrible, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But that's not a successful tactical operation. And, I'm thinking back to 96, right? We had a bombing at the Atlanta Olympics. You lost one life and 111 other people were injured. Although, interestingly enough, I don't remember the government putting Atlanta on lockdown and sending 9,000 militarized police units out to find the guy. I know of one security guard who tried to prevent the event or at least followed up on it immediately, and he ended up being accused of being the bomber. Didn't turn out to be him. It took him like three years to catch the real guy. So, you know, my concern is not whether this was a false flag or not or a terrorist attack or not or whatever it was. I mean, you know, that'll all come out soon enough, more or less. My concern is, you know, what are you going to allow to happen afterwards? You know, are you going to allow the government, the federal government, to decide that this American citizen, resident of Massachusetts, college student, I believe at Dartmouth, who may have done something stupid, right? And guess what? No matter how stupid and dangerous and heinous this was in this country, we are still innocent until proven guilty. So he is allegedly the accomplice to this thing. We don't know that for a fact yet. Are we going to allow the federal government to turn this Boston crime into a federal issue and eliminate this guy's Fourth and Fifth Amendment rights? Is that okay?
You know, no, it's not. Here, let me tell you a quick note here while everybody was sleeping or, you know, focused on Boston.
Yeah.
They're going to hand 123 million more to the terrorists that are in Syria.
You know where a lot of those.
Are you sick, idiots?
Well, But those aren't terrorists, Chris. Those are freedom fighters. They're trying to liberate Syria from Bashar al-Assad.
Oh, right.
And you know what? Yeah. That Free Syria Army, it's made up mostly of North African al-Qaeda.
I know.
And you know who else? You know who else it's got in it? A lot of its, quote, you know, freedom fighters. You know where they're from? The Caucasus.
Yep.
As in Chechnya and the Russian Federation state of Dagestan, where Johar Tsarnaev was born. So,
we're
going to make this guy out to be the boogeyman and Tamaril, his brother, who was killed, these are the boogeymen. These are the new face of young Americanized, radicalized terrorists. Why is our government given the same jerk-offs money to topple a secular Middle Eastern regime?
I'll tell you what, if I was trying to do something nasty in the world, that's a group I would want. They are vicious.
Vicious as Serb.
I don't know how many people have ever even looked at that school incident that occurred there, or the bombings
in
Russia.
Yeah,
oh,
Beslan.
God. It was like 1,000 people held hostage, 320 some killed, the rest of them wounded and injured. You know, half of them were children. I mean, they didn't bat an eye, you know. You know, they're lovely people, you know. Freedom fighters. Freedom fighters. Don't forget it.
Freedom fighters. Well, you know, and then one thing, so we finally get this person. We're trying to, I guess, get information out of him. Of course, you kind of shot him in the throat, so I guess a little hard for him to talk. But
did they?
You know, and then, you know, there's talk now of, hey, he's an enemy combatant. Well, it's essentially saying, hey, we don't like this guy. We're going to strip citizenship from him so that we can put him under another set of rules and get information out of him that way. Well, here's a U.S. citizen, right, who is a citizen of Boston, commits an act in Boston, a terrible act in Boston, in the state of Massachusetts. So, you know, here you have essentially a localized problem. Of course, it has potentially a connection to international terrorism, which is definitely a federal interest. And then, hey, let's strip citizenship away from them so we can do all this other horrible stuff to them. Well, I don't think the government really has the ability to do that based on the fact that, well, we really didn't like that crime, so now we're going to take citizenship away from this person that we gave citizenship to in the first place. And then, if you look at when they arrest terrorists who are found on the field of battle overseas out of uniform, which means you're really an enemy combatant, and that's why the Geneva Conventions exist, is in order to encourage people who are fighting for one side or the other to wear a uniform so that you can identify who is a valid military target on the battlefield. That literally is the reason why you wear uniforms, to say, I'm the target, these people are not, don't hurt the innocent.
Shoot
me. You're not wearing a, yeah, exactly, shoot me, I'm the enemy, I'm on the other side. Or I'm the guy coming to get you. But the other people on the battlefield, they're citizens and they're innocents, and you know it's not really supposed to be about trying to kill them. That's why if you're out of uniform,
you mean like our drone strikes?
Yeah. That's why if you're out of uniform, the rules of law or the rules of war, you know, allow such sort of terrible things to happen to you because hey, now why weren't you wearing a uniform? Now you're confusing who's on which side. Now you're blending in with the civilian population as a danger to the civilians, and we don't, you know, appreciate that. That's why we have all these extra protections. Or extra powers over you. But when we find people overseas who are out of uniform, overseas fighting against us, we start wrapping them in constitutional protections. Or so various interest groups would have us wrap them with constitutional protections and say that, you know, they get the protection of the U.S. Constitution and that sort of thing. But if you're an American citizen and you do this type of thing, well, we'll strip your citizenship away from you, no problem, so that we can prosecute the hell out of you. It just seems totally backwards and arbitrary to me.
Well, I don't know if it's arbitrary. I think it's very pointed. Look, I mean, look, there may be some, you know, international terrorist connection. We don't know that yet. There was this bit on Wednesday where all the media were running around saying they've caught a suspect, they have him in custody, he's a dark-skinned gentleman, whatever the fuck that means, and then they retracted it like 30 minutes later.
John Boehner. He had a tan.
Yeah, they had John Boehner, an orange-skinned gentleman. So, you know, and then they retracted it, and then it turns out that they did have a Saudi guy in custody, but Then Obama had a impromptu meeting with a Saudi minister, and then this guy's now getting deported through very irregular means. Who knows, man? It's entirely possible this thing's connected, and then, of course, it might be a federal issue. But that doesn't change the fact that, as Tex pointed out, this kid is an American citizen, resident of Massachusetts, and he has right to due process. It doesn't matter if you don't like him. It doesn't matter if what he did was horrible. Everybody is innocent until proven guilty. Now, that doesn't mean that if you, you know, like his brother, who was, I'm not sure, I don't think his brother was a citizen yet because there were some issues with his application. It doesn't mean that if he was killed in the pursuit of trying to apprehend him, that that would be a problem, because guess what? If you're committing a crime and they try to apprehend you and you end up getting dead, that's your fault. But, and by the same token, there's this whole issue of, you know, he wasn't Mirandized. Well, let's be clear about a couple of things. First of all, I think he's passed out, so it's hard to Mirandize an unconscious assailant. But nevertheless, there is a public safety exemption to Miranda. And that is that if the information that you can grab from the person that you were putting under arrest can provide assistance in preventing further public risks and danger, then you can interrogate the suspect without Mirandizing him and without counsel being present. However, that information cannot be used in court against him. So, for example, if they think there's another bomber out there and this kid knows who he is, they can inquire about these things to him before they Mirandize him. And then, but it has a limited application, limited period of time, and it doesn't mean that he is going to be detained indefinitely or that he doesn't have rights or that the Fifth Amendment doesn't stand anymore.
Here's the other thing. Whether they Mirandize you or not, you always have a right to remain silent. You know, it doesn't matter if they tell you that or not. And, you know, shooting a guy in the throat is probably going to remain fairly silent.
Are we gonna have fun tonight? You wouldn't believe the crap going through my head right now. I'm like biting my tongue to let you guys try.
Well,
no.
Look, tonight's kind of a freeform show. So, whoever, you know, all you kiddies out there in Radio Land, call in number 646-649-1013, 646-649 or 1013. Call in because, you know, this is a national conversation. This is important stuff, and you know what? As important as it is, you got to be a little lighthearted about it. And the theme of the show, stealing from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, is don't panic. Okay, see, that's what they want, whether it is, quote, a government false flag or a Muslim jihadist attack or merely a couple of homicidal maniacs. What they always want from you is your reaction, your emotions, and your fear.
Okay.
So, you know, don't be afraid.
Well,
let me
give you a couple different things. Let me go back to the beginning because we've all seen the video. And when the bombs went off, of course, we heard the UN coach and his perspective and, you know, blah, 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 and all things about the dogs and the bomb-sniffing dogs and the announcements and everything else and, you know, that kind of stuff. But here, let me tell you something, that the first thing I noticed when I watched that film, that guy that caught it, you know, and he ran in there with his camera, you know, he caught it on film, and he was like, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. And he got some, you know, that was just incredible film work. Here's the challenge, and this is the first thing that I noticed. If anybody understands anything about terrorist bombing, and anybody knows anything about Iraq or Iran or has been there or family members that have been there, and you sit down and talk to these guys, nobody runs into a blast zone as fast as everybody did. Now, it's lovely that people want to save people's lives, but I'm going to tell you what. If those people would have been working under me, I'd have fired their asses, because what they do is they set up a secondary device, and you all run in there, you know, trying to be the good Samaritan, and then they blast again, and then they get a whole bunch more of them. And if you talk to anybody who has ever dealt with this kind of stuff, they're going to tell you that, boom, something goes off. First thing you do is secure the area, and then you expect a second device. And now, fortunately, in this case, the second device was down the street. But if they would have had two devices there and set them off after everybody ran in the middle of all those bodies, they'd have killed a bunch more people. It is that right there. Was a lot of people don't see stuff like that. I do, you know, because of my background, whatever you want to call it. But you know, it was just like, oh, my God, yeah. Well, I just couldn't believe that they were that in after 12 years of this crap and all the
But keep in mind
that have gone around the world.
But the people that ran towards it were, A, civilians that were either there or nearby, and they were also the people you saw in yellow. Those weren't, you know, official first responders. Those were marathon route people. They weren't security. They were just kind of like
there was
handling
cops,
the marathon.
There was a lot of people in through the whole crowd and stuff like that, too.
Yeah,
yeah,
no, I'm
so
not saying
anyway,
that they weren't there.
You know,
but it brings up the point, Chris, that you're mentioning, which I think is important. Let me get back to in a second, is that, you know, we keep hearing, you know, since September 11th, we've heard this word first responder, right? And it's obviously somebody with a badge or with a medical, you know, EMT or something like that. But in reality, and this is important for all of you to remember, the first responder is you and the victim. And maybe you are the victim because you're the ones that are there. It takes time for, even if it is an event like this where you have a lot of security and you have a lot of EMTs, it takes time for them to get there. You're the first one on scene, so use your head.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, it's very important. You know, being in a crisis situation, whether it's a bear attack in Alaska, everything I've ever seen or been involved in my life, you know, you got to use your head. And I think one of the challenges of today's America is that there's some really great people who put their ass on the line for other people, and that's amazing. And I've been that type of person in my life, and it is a call to duty, and it's an American thing. But I'll tell you what, man, if I was sitting back looking at going, oh, look at how they respond. My son, in his dual tours in Iraq, said that they were always, they would sit and watch you, how you responded to situations, and then they would adapt to that situation. You know, I mean, make no bones about it, whether it was some crazy kid that thought he was a jihadist, that thought he was a Muslim, you know, whatever. There are people who want to kill people, and they're really good at it, and they've been studying this shit since the 70s, and they've been doing it since the 70s, and we still haven't figured out that they're serious about what they're doing.
I hate to tell you this, Frog, but they haven't been doing this since the 70s. They've been doing it since the 7th century.
Well, yeah, but I'm talking about in terms of how what we've experienced in modern, you know, what we call the modern terrorism. You know what I'm saying? But, yes, I agree.
Yeah, what we've experienced as Americans, because, you know what, we've had a pretty easy go of this. In the 70s, man, Europe was faced with a lot of bombings. It was either the IRA in England. It was the ETA in Northern Basque Country, the Red Brigades. It was all over the place. And in Asia, it's been happening. So we've been relatively insulated, and frankly, I think it's also made us a little weak. The fact is, most Americans, you know, we talk tough, but we're really just a bunch of pussies. I'm sorry, just because you go deer hunting and you can down your 12-pack and watch a football game and listen to country music and go outside and kick the shit out of your friends and stuff, doesn't mean you're ready to take on a war situation. And that's what's happening.
No,
the war
world
is coming to shore, and the fact is that our government's been poking a fucking hornet's nest, and we're getting some blowback from it. But even if it wasn't, the fact is that there are, and whether this is a false flag, an incompetent terrorist plot, or whatever, okay, the fact is that there are Muslim jihadists out there trying to kill us, and our government is instigating them, and in some cases, financing them and giving them the means by which to do it. Now, whether that's intentional malice or gross incompetence doesn't matter. That's the reality. Now, if you're going to go cower in fear and panic, then the whole thing's going to fall apart. Use your head. Figure out what's going on, and then let's do something about it. The most important thing to do about it, okay, doesn't matter how you feel about this guy. It doesn't matter what he did or didn't do. It doesn't matter if he's a patsy or if he's a jihadist. It doesn't matter. What matters is he's an American citizen. Should he have become one? Maybe not. But guess what? He came in through the front door. He's not an illegal alien. He is a legal American citizen. He has rights. You don't get to take those away from him under any circumstances, Mr. Graham, Mr. King, and Mr. McCain.
And or Ann Coulter, who I also heard saying something stupid. Again.
Who?
Shows something dumb. Yeah.
Again?
What did that drag queen say?
I heard her voice talking like Fingernails Help on the chalkboard, and so I just had to throw in there.
That guy used to be interesting, but I think he's jumped the shark. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think so too. But yeah, exactly. You can't just arbitrarily decide that, oh, this person said something terrible, and so therefore, you know, strip their rights to citizenship away from them. I mean, that's horrendous, you know, abuse of authority, and there's absolutely no recourse to law to do that. Now, that doesn't mean that they can't do it. That just means that they're acting extra-legally and therefore creating precedent to do it later on, because they always go refer back to earlier precedents of, well, he did it and nobody seemed to say anything, so I guess it's legit, you know. So I'd say that's a quite dangerous thing to
well,
do.
Katrina was a classic, you know, example.
Yeah. Well, what is this thing, though? I mean, I think you saw it. We've all seen it. What is Glenn Beck talking about? What does he think that he knows is going with this Saudi guy? I mean, you touched on the Saudi guy, and then you went off on another area. I just want to come back to this. I mean, what's going on? Like, Glenn Beck saying he's a bad. I think he might have said that 5 times or maybe 6.
Yeah.
How bad this person
was.
Well,
I've seen several reports from different people, including the, what's that guy named? Shobot or whatever.
Waleed Shobot.
Yeah. Yeah, you mean Harris. Used to be a terrorist, so he knows the whole game inside and out. But, you know, the ties and the family members of this guy, this young Saudi, you know, are pretty bad. And I don't know how far Beck is going to go with it. I've listened to him all week through this whole situation, and he seems to, you know, believe that he's and Beck is pretty good at tying the threads, you know what I mean, connecting the dots. So we won't see until tomorrow.
Like, half the people who are coming here from there are all related to a Saudi prince, or they are a Saudi prince or princess, or the ninth heiress of the whatever. I mean, that's, apart from oil, that's their chief export, or princes and princesses, you know. It's this person's related to that person who also did, I mean, Bin Laden tied into, you know, all that group as well. So
well,
it's pretty easy to draw
those. Well,
how many Saudis that aren't princes or princesses can afford to travel?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
your regular Saudi citizen can't afford.
Who's coming over here on student visas going to Harvard? You know,
who was the guy that said we need to get control of our own energy sources so no American president has to bow to a Saudi king ever again? Who was that guy?
It was Dick Cheney, wasn't it?
Newt Gingrich.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you know. What we're talking about.
I
don't know what Zach is talking, but of course he's saying, you know, tune in Monday. So he's just selling his show for Monday. And I guess he figured he had a pretty good hook because, hey, we're talking about, I guess it is a good hook, but it's kind of a bullshit thing to say, I'm giving them until Monday to release this, or are you going to what? Release it? I mean, what kind of bullshit ruse is that? If you don't tell people, then I will tell people. Well, here's the problem. You would have a shit ton less credibility than if I went out and gave a press conference and said it. So screw you. Mm-hmm. You can go ahead and tell them whatever the heck you want. Anyway.
It's part of his pissing war with Alex Jones.
Alex Jones just came out and busted a video loose and said, here's what Beck's going to tell everybody on Monday. I'm like going, these two guys, man, they're like freaking children. Why don't they work
amping
together?
Up the
both
fear.
Of them have,
amping up the fear.
Well, both of them have good resources and good connections, and they have analytical minds, even though they get out there a little bit. But, God, I don't know why they don't work together, you know. They sound like a couple teenagers. Well, here's what Alex said about me. Well, here's what Beck said about me on his show the other day.
Well, it's sort of like, you know, CNN and Fox News, right? You know, Fox News is your right-wing brainwashing, and CNN and MSLSD are your left-wing brainwashing. And then, of course, you know, the Internet is like the Wild West. You can say anything and do anything and, prove anything definitively that hasn't been proven. But, you know, the fact is that the facts are sparse. There's not a lot of facts in this case. And what we do know is that some people are severely injured, some people are dead, and it sucks. Right, because
terrible.
You know, think about the word terrorism. Right, it is something designed to elicit terror. So if you are afraid, then they've accomplished their goal. Whether it's some kind of new world order, sinister government infiltration, whether it's communists, whether it's Obama, whether it's Muslim jihadists from Saudi Arabia, Chechnya, wherever,
all of them
working together. Whatever it is, it's designed to put you in fear. And the fact is, when you start running around like a chicken without a head, afraid of everything because this happened, and you allow things to happen that are illegal, unconstitutional, it doesn't
help. This can't be happening, man. This isn't happening.
Calm down, okay? Calm down. The very simple fact is, you got a higher chance of being struck by lightning or killed by a drunk driver than you do of being blown up in a terrorist attack in this country. That's one.
Well,
how
many people have even looked at the number of bombings in Iraq since we pulled out, our major forces? I mean, it's terrible over there.
Yeah, I think something like 47 people were killed this week, so it's a higher death toll in a smaller country than we had. But that's not the point. The point is that we're American, so it affects us more when it happens here, real simple. But the idea is when you go into fear and you start drawing incorrect conclusions. Like, I saw a video of people being run out of their house by military-looking cops, with their hands on their heads. Okay, that may be a violation of the Fourth and Fifth Amendment, maybe. Or it simply may be that there was reason to believe that the assailant, who might be wearing a bomb belt, had broken into their house, and so they wanted to evacuate them. And the reason that they make you put your hands on your head is so that the other cops, who might not be standing there immediately, know that you're one of the people who's escaping rather than the assailant. They don't pop you in the head. Okay, so, you can't always see things and just draw a conclusion without a context. The fact is that this guy was found on someone's private property in a guy's boat. He could have broken into your basement. If there's a guy with a bomb strapped to his belt that's been shot, might be a little delusional, bleeding out, whatever, and he's in my basement and cops find out about it, I kind of don't mind if they bust in my door and take him out before he blows me up. Okay.
Well, did you see?
I don't want them buzzing in my door and harassing me because, some guy did that. So there is a fine line, but there's a balance.
Yeah.
And the thing to keep in mind is that they had this, entire lockdown, this quasi-martial law, this militarized police running around. They had National Guard, which I'm not really sure that you can have National Guard acting in a police function in this country. And they didn't catch the guy. They didn't catch it. You know how they caught the guy? Because he got in some guy's boat, and the guy was like, hey, what the fuck's wrong with my tarp out on my boat? And he went and saw that there was a guy there, and he called the cops. It was a private citizen that caught this guy. It wasn't the quasi-martial law. What a waste of time, money, and amping up the fear.
They did corner him in an area. I mean, he was wounded. He didn't, he did get shot. So they get an assist
because he had blood.
That's what they call that. Like in soccer, he got an assist on that goal. But anyway. Exactly. But
did you guys?
There's always more private citizens than there are officials around. So
Anyway. Yeah. Well, and I also watched some video of the cops going door to door, and I was just freaked out. Number one, most of them looked like they were carrying an extra 80 to 100 pounds, and one guy was walking behind another guy and he had his damn gun pointed at his freaking butt. And then they're all like bunched up together in front of a house, like target rich zone. I'm just going, oh my God, just stay away from my house and my neighborhood. I'll take care of myself. You frickers are going to get people killed. I mean, trust me, I love the cops. I love the military and thank God and all that wonderful stuff. And what happened in Boston was terrible, but I'm going to tell you what, I swear our country is just lame. Who are these people they're hiring? And who in the hell is training them? Oh, my God. Stay out of my neighborhood. If shit goes down, the bad guys just leave. In fact, my neighborhood, there's more freaking military and ex-military in here. Just stay out of our neighborhood. We'll find him and take him out.
Well,
give me
that's
six
the
guys.
Thing, Chris. That's the thing. The thing is that this government this week, the government this week tried to take away our guns. Oh, no, it was just registration bill. It was just background checks. It's the first step in taking away our guns. So if a government is trying to disarm you and then something like this happens and they go into a military you know, quasi-martial law lockdown, that's bound to create some suspicion. All right? The fact is that if we were all armed. What's that?
What state were they in?
Which ones?
State of confusion.
But Massachusetts has terrible gun laws for private citizens.
Are they really terrible? Absolutely. Don't they have a lot more gun control than most other states?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I know. Yeah.
Oh,
look, the
I'm
simple
sorry.
Fact, you know what? If this was 100 years ago, the local sheriff would have rounded up a posse, deputized them, and we would have gone out and killed them.
If it was in Arizona, that's exactly what he would have done.
Yeah.
He would have put a posse together and taken care of business.
Look, the whole prospect of America and the way that our structure was set up is to bind government to a few limited functions. What that means is that if you want to be a citizen in this country, as it's supposed to be under the Constitution, versus a subject or a serf in a dictatorial type of tyrannical totalitarian state, is that yes, you can bind the government to certain limits, but that means that you have more responsibility. Okay, you can't have it both ways. And the problem in America today is we want this, you know, freedom, right? But we don't want the responsibility of liberty. So we want the government to take care of everything from wiping your ass to providing you with, you know, food.
Well, and Rick, it brings up a good point where, you know, they talk about trading liberty for security. Well, you know, so liberty is messy, and if you have freedom, oh, my God, some crazy person could get a hold of God only knows what and go out there and cause, you know, harm. In this case, get a hold of a pressure cooker, apparently. You know, I don't know, are we going to have pressure cooker legislation? You know, no, we're not. So,
what about box knives?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this gets...
I don't know, man. You can get a crock pot. What do you need a pressure cooker for?
Yes, exactly. So, you know, you go after these things like, wow, this liberty stuff is really messy because this allows all these crazy people to get their hands on God only knows what to create, you know, all this chaos. So we really need to enact more and more laws and transfer more and more authority over to the state in order to stop this thing from happening. Well, okay, you know, the next thing you know, you could transfer all the authority over into where basically you're just sitting at your home and you can't go outside unless the government says it's okay, right? I mean, that's an absurd example, but essentially you transfer all your authority over, all your freedom over to the government to keep you safe, and then guess what? Then you have people who are upset about that, and you know what they do when they get upset about that? They start blowing crap up, too. So it doesn't end. There's no way to legislate that type of behavior out of existence. This is chaos, basically, is the organizing principle of everything that happens on planet Earth and human society. There's no law that you can enact to stop this stuff. You know, so find the crazies and try to prevent them from doing this. When you find them, punish them, and try to find who they're working with and punish them. But there's not a legal solution to this problem.
No. Well, and the more laws you have and the more cops you have, the more risk you're going to have in the police force. I mean, anytime you look, you know, you want to go look at, you know, police abuse, I mean, just go to the Internet, you know, and look. And you have to ask yourself. And I, you know, I've been in very small towns where I've known people personally that were in the police force, you know, and things like that. But you know, I mean, you get these guys, I mean, this situation where people give up their rights, they give up their power, and then you have a cop pull a gun on a kid, and the guy was like a, you know, 20, 30 year or whatever cop, undercover detective, whatever, and he freaks out because the line is too slow at McDonald's and pulls a gun on an 18-year-old kid, sticks it in his face because he was moving too slow. You can't remove the risk from human nature and from society. And when you keep asking government to do it for you, I mean, it blows me away. Who do you think they hire? They hire people. And what's the common thread with people? People are messed up. You know, people go through all kinds of shit, you know, in their lives.
Them. Yeah, well, you can fix people.
Yeah.
Well, you can fix people. In the center of the galaxy, they tried to fix people. You ended up with a bunch of reavers. I mean, look, here's a simple fact, okay? The simple fact is that life is messy. Life is full of risk. If you want to be free, put up with the risk. Now, risk cannot be eliminated. It can only be managed. Okay, so when they say stuff like, we have to make sure that this never happens again, that's when you know that the guy is full of crap and appealing to your emotional state of fear, and then he's going to tell you, but
power.
In order to make this, you know, in order to make sure that this never happens again, we're going to have to get rid of the Second Amendment, the Fourth Amendment, and the Fifth Amendment. You know, and that's
yeah,
when
that's
one guy stands up on the hill and says, don't drone me, bro. Okay?
Yeah.
So, you know, here's a real simple fact. While you were focused on Boston, they passed an internet security bill that is basically going to clamp down on your privacy on the internet and basically shut it down. They passed a internet tax so that now it's going to actually be expensive to engage in commerce on the web. And they tried to take away your guns. Now, why do they do all these kinds of things? Because you're afraid and you're focusing on the wrong thing. So you got to focus up and you got to put the pressure on them to act according to the Constitution. And guess what? It's the Constitution every time on every issue, whether it works to your favor or not, whether you like it or not. You cannot bend the rules and agree to have somebody elected, you know, on your behalf bend the rules when it works out for you, okay? Because the whole point of the constitutional framework is that it binds the government, all of it. The Constitution assumes, okay, it assumes that the people know what's best for them and the people they elect are likely to be corrupt. That's what the Constitution assumes, okay? So when you start tinkering around with which rules to apply and which not to apply, that's when you run into trouble. Go ahead, Chris.
No, I was just saying, our founding fathers, you mean they actually had some wisdom when they put this thing together? They already knew that governments were corrupt. What does modern man, and maybe Tex can ramp on this one a little bit, but it blows me away that somewhere along the line in our modern society that we have figured out that, you know, through modern psychology or sociology or whatever the case may be, that we think we can fix the problems of human nature. Tex?
Well, are you saying Tex is a problem with human
sort
nature?
Of the,
yeah, I was passing it off to him.
He was passing it over to me. Well, you know, there's this, you have psychology, sociology, oh, you can sit down and you can figure everyone out and you know what makes them tick. And apparently what made those guys tick were the bombs strapped to their backs. But, you know, you can't control human behavior. That's always been the problem, is that you know, everyone's a free agent. They run around, they do whatever they want to do. And you never know what's going to set someone off, when they're going to go off. I mean, people themselves don't know when they're going to go off. I mean, look at how angry people can get really fast. 1 second,
in traffic.
Okay, and yeah, and then something happens, and all of a sudden someone becomes enraged, and then later on they feel bad about it because, oh, gee, I wish I hadn't become that upset. You know, you have certain, you know, instincts inside your own body that control chemical reactions, that control your emotions, that you don't have control of because evolutionarily your intelligence is not supposed to have control of it because your intelligence is a much slower system than the reactive system. And when you're in some
Bingo.
Sort of fight or flight situation, the reactive system is like, screw what the intelligence is saying. I'm pumping out all these chemicals and this person is doing this thing. So, you know, how can you control or predict what someone's going to do? Well, for God's sakes, if you can predict what someone could do, well, you know, you'd be a very rich person. But you can't. You just have to live with the fact that, you know, everyone around you is basically a chemical computer processing a bunch of chemicals in any 1 second, and sometimes they go off, you know. That's part of it. But transferring
Chris,
your
Chris, are you building something or are you eating dinner?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was mixing it up. Sorry, guys. I'll mute.
But, so, you know, you're walking around with a bunch of people, any one of which, you know, could sort of go off on you at any moment. I mean, you know, you've been standing in line and you do something, and then someone starts yelling about God, you know, who knows what they're upset about. And you're like, what in the hell is this person's problem, right? You can't control that. And no amount of legislation that you transfer over to somebody is going to control human behavior. And even if you go after certain types of weapons, that doesn't mean that you can get all things to be turned into a weapon, because anything can be turned into a weapon. And that really is the problem. Look, it's a horrible thing that happened. It's a tragedy. It's awful, but there's not a legislative solution to prevent it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Cain killed Abel with a rock.
Yeah. The thing is to let the process go out, go through as it needs to, identify these people, and then go prosecute them and let the law take its course for doing what the heck they did. You know?
Well, there's another
you don't need
factor.
To strip
and that's
you.
Key, the law. That's key. The law, not just revenge, not just treat him as an enemy combatant. The law, due process.
Well, here's another thing I think is, I'm sorry.
Anyway, I was just going to say.
Hey guys, real quick, because we're almost an hour in, let me throw out the phone number so we can get some callers. Call if you want to chime in about anything, pretty much, but we're kind of focusing on, the Boston bombings, the fertilizer bomb, all the stuff that's gone on this week that's getting you amped up and putting you in the state of fear. Let's talk about that. Call the number 646-649-1013. That's 646-649-1013. Speaking of peaceful events, guys, on 420, right, which is allegedly police code for possession of marijuana. So, everybody has their big 420 pot smoking event. Well, apparently at a big pot smoking festival somewhere out in, I think it might have been Colorado, three people were shot. By the same token, there was a gun rally in Connecticut and no one was shot.
Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
No, that really happened.
Oh, man. You're kidding me. Stole
which is
kind of
weird, because usually people who smoke pot, all they want to do is play video games and go out and get snacks, but apparently somebody decided to shoot three people.
Someone was eating too much of the snacks.
My God. I used to tell, the part that I think that frustrates people, and I think where some of the heavy conspiracy theories, on the false flag and all this kind of stuff come from, is the fact that we keep funding our enemies. I do not understand in my life, when I just think about people I've known, when somebody, living in Alaska half my life, there were some pretty crazy people up there, trust me. High content, high ratio number. You had to watch your ass, and there were some pretty dangerous people. And when somebody looks at you and goes, I'm going to get you, you don't start buying them beer. You know what I mean? When they tell you, I'm pissed at you, I'm going to kick your ass or whatever the case may be, you don't start handing them money because they already hate your ass. And all you're doing is showing them that you are weak. I do not understand this concept of thinking that bribing people who say they want to blow us up and run us in Israel and now France, they're all over France because they got their nose stuck in North Africa, went into Mali. But,
that's because the Germans asked for the gold back.
But when they tell you that we're going to destroy you, you don't invite them into your damn country and put them on welfare and give them free educations. You think you can bribe people's relationships? I'm just talking about the whole concept.
I misunderstood you. I thought when you said funding our enemies, I didn't know you were talking about Muslim jihadists. I thought you were talking about the government because we paid our taxes this week.
Yeah, it's insane. Days are crazy. And what's amazing with this whole thing is that they spent all this time and energy front page 24/7 over this 19-year-old kid that seemed to be able to evade 2,000 police officers, and you got almost nothing of the tragedy in Texas. And you're down there,
no.
Tex. Are you up on it?
Sorry. What was that?
The tragedy in
something
Texas.
Something going on here, and I had to take care of it. Oh, you're talking about the explosion at the fertilizer plant.
Imagine
that.
Essentially,
it's an industrial process. Yeah. It's an industrial process. It's a very volatile chemical. And, this is the same type of thing that is what brought down the Murrow Federal Building back in the 90s, was a fertilizer bomb. So, essentially, these factories handled improperly or with an improper set of safety standards or, sort of in a cascading failure type situation, this is what happens. And you also get massive grain silo explosions, other things that are associated with these types of plants. But it's not, or I wouldn't think, or it would be infinitesimally small, the possibility that this is some sort of terrorist thing that went on there because, talk about a drop-off in targets. You go from, the Boston Marathon to someone sending rice into the Senate to blowing up a fertilizer plant in a town in Texas that no one's heard of. There's a serious drop-off in the value of that target. What are they saying? Soon they will not have any animal crap factories at all. I just don't know what sort of path to victory.
Don't give them any ideas.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't give them freaking outlaw fertilizer. No more mulching your yard. But,
exactly.
But here's
what happened there is a terrible tragedy, obviously, and I don't mean to make light of it, but, you know, people trying to stress that it's some sort of terrorist thing, I think are really, you know, need to sit back and relax and breathe.
Yeah, but they don't want to relax. See, how many of the so-called, you know, prostitutes or journalists on TV, you know, when there was all this speculation going on, were hoping that this was going to be a white guy with a Ron Paul sticker on his car and a gun rack in his pickup. You know, that's the kind of world we live in. They're amping up the fear to a degree that causes you to paralyze and divide so that you cannot be united against tyranny. That's what this is about.
Well,
it doesn't matter if it's...
If you need to win an argument that bad, seriously, you need another hobby. I mean, really, nobody needs to win an argument. So, but see how right I was? You know, I mean, come on, people. You just need to get perspective here.
The leftist media is constantly on attack mode, constantly. And so every time anything has happened, any shooting, any tragedy, any explosion, anything, they go after, you know, white Tea Party Christians, you know, right wingers, and they don't care if they're wrong, because if they were wrong, within an hour and a half to 2 hours, they just change the dialogue and nobody thinks about it again. Nobody holds them accountable for that. You know, it's pretty sad. But, you know, if they're right, then they've got, you know, if some freako, you know, nut job, you know, skinhead did it, then they can just keep the narrative going. But if they're wrong, they just switch it, and nobody ever questions them. The fact that every time anything bad goes on, you're after some white supremacy thing.
Well, technically, you know, though, you know, this kid, you know, is Caucasian. In fact,
yeah,
the white race is referred to as the Caucasian race because of the Caucasus Mountains, where this guy's from, even though they were originally a Turkic people from, you know, the Mongolian steppes before they ended up in Central Asia there. But, you know,
now you're being racist on the Mongolians.
Yes, it's crazy, right? No, not the Mongolians, the Turks. Get it right. I said Mongolian steppes, not Mongolian race. But the interesting thing is that there's this hyped up fear of Muslims, and this is what is being played out here. And here's the crazy thing. Are Muslim jihadists trying to kill us? Yes, they are. That's a fact. So when you don't use the word Islamist or whatever the latest lingo is for Muslim terrorists, and you're afraid to identify who the real enemy is, you got a real problem. If our government is in fact fighting this, quote, war on terror, then identify what you're fighting. It's Muslim jihadists. Now, does that mean that every Muslim is trying to kill you? That's a stupid assertion, and some people seem to have this inherent fear. And then, of course, the other problem you run into is, how do you identify these Muslims? Because most people identify Muslims like the Saudi guy that was deported. They're Arabs. Well, Arabs come from Saudi Arabia. These kids weren't Arabs. These kids were from the Caucasus. So, you know, in fact, in the 13th century, there was a former Mamluk slave who became the greatest leader of the Middle Ages for Muslims and united the Egyptian caliphate and the Syrian caliphate for the first time since the Crusader liberation of the Levant. His name was Baybars. He was blonde-haired and blue-eyed. And guess where he came from? The same place as these two, quote, terrorists. So, you know, how do you identify these people if you're not being vigilant and you're not keeping an eye on who's actually trying to cause harm? And first responders are the people that are standing there, not necessarily the cops or anything else. You can never have enough cops, you can never have enough soldiers, and you can never have enough drones or cameras to prevent something like this from happening.
Yeah.
It's actually surprising that it doesn't happen more often.
Well, I mean, there's a classic example. The Russians told the FBI, this older brother is a problem, and you need to deal with him. You need to check him out. They go in there and have a conversation or two, and who knows what the truth is about any of it, and they walk away going, he's not a threat. Well, here we are today. How would you like that one? You know,
well,
and here you have a foreign
that
power, Russia, who's dealt with these caucuses and this, you know, terror coming out of that area for a long time, going, this guy's a problem. Go ahead.
But Chris, I got to ask you a question. If this guy was living in the United States as a resident alien working on his citizenship, how is it that the Russians know he's a problem? That's kind of worrisome.
Well, then I think that ties back to his travels.
Well, they're,
you know,
they're American, the Russians' American spies reported back like, hey, there's this Russian guy here. He's like a real problem. He's causing trouble for us. Like the attractive Russian spy we found, like, apparently they have a large undercover spy operation here. Maybe they uncovered him before we did.
Well,
you never know.
Yeah,
like Kevin Costner.
There's so much. Kevin Costner. That was a great movie. No Way Out or whatever it was.
Yeah.
No Way Out.
That was a great. I mean, I grew up in that era, you know. So, you know, what is amazing to me is, you know, my dad, there's actually a documentary I posted on my group under the North Korea thread. That is a Korean War documentary because my dad fought in the Korean War. And a lot of people just don't understand that whole dynamics and that, you know, in that situation. But I want to watch that. But I grew up in the Cold War, you know. I grew up with, you know, waiting for the bombs, you know, to go off and the bunker era. I don't think it was as bad in my childhood or lifetime, but, you know, definitely before that, the whole communist threat and the McCarthy era and you know, the hearings. And, I mean, come on.
What do you mean it wasn't bad in your lifetime? It's worse now than it's ever been. Back then, McCarthy was talking about communist infiltrators in government, and today we just freely elect them.
Well, yeah, and we pay them to come here, you know. So... we get
it's nuts.
And then we slip them out on airplanes when somebody exposes them. I mean, come on. You know, but what I'm saying is the difference between the era I grew up in and how we as citizens dealt with it and how people deal with it today. People are just, they're just sheep, you know. I mean, it just blows me away.
Yeah, well, that's the problem. The problem is when you become soft and you show this kind of enemy weakness, they're going to come at you more. Furthermore, when your government is poking the hornet's nest by killing their children and their friends, then all it's doing is inspiring more of them to kill us. Now, let's be clear about something. Had you never, ever set foot over there with your military, don't think for a second that, you know, the United States and the Muslim jihadists would be at peace and everything would be hunky-dory and we'd sing kumbaya around the campfire eating, you know, non-pork meat. That's not how it would work. They still want to kill us. They've been doing it for 14 centuries. They're not going to stop. But you don't poke the hornet's nest because that just exacerbates the problem. And the question you have to ask yourself is, since 2001, since Bush gave us the Department of Homeland Defense, because we have to make sure that this never happens again, they've spent trillions of dollars, they've curtailed civil liberties, they've done all these measures. Are we any safer? So, you know, the question is,
no.
Is this worth
it? You want
an
answer?
Is this worth
that?
It? No, it was rhetorical. Is this worth it? I mean, the fact is that either they're incompetent and can't do something about it, or they're unwilling to do something about it because it helps control us. Either way, right? Either way, it's not appropriate for us to assent to giving up our essential liberties for some false pretext of temporary security. And that's what fear of an incident like this does.
Yeah, but look, let's be honest. It's an impossible task. No government bureaucracy can possibly provide 100% security all the time. It's not
They allege
possible.
That they can.
Exactly.
They allege that they can.
Well, actually, the bureaucracy doesn't allege that it can. The bureaucracy is the receiver of legislation. What actually is going on is that Congress people want to get reelected, and so they go up there, and they see an event, and they want to get out in front of it, and they want to promise you the moon, so that they get reelected. Oh, I can fix this. I will make sure that, you know, I'm tougher on this issue than anybody else, and I'll make sure that this never happens again, and so enact my legislation.
Mm-hmm.
So they pass the legislation.
Like the new
everybody
immigration bill
good.
They're talking about.
Yeah, everybody pretends that, oh, now we finally found the solution after, you know, tens of thousands of years of human evolution, you know, for human history. Oh, my God, this guy finally enacted this law that's actually going to solve this problem of people doing bad things to each other, and then it gets thrown onto some poor bureaucracy that now has to go enforce this stuff, and the people working to enforce it now, like, this is absurd. There's no way we could possibly ever do all of this stuff, but they do the best that they can. You know, you do have some bad actors in there, but it comes down to politicians promising the people the world, and the people being gullible enough to believe that, wow, now we passed a law. Now something's been done about that. Now that will never happen again because, you know, as you know, crazy people and people who make, you know, bombs out of pressure cookers are always reading up on the laws to find out, oh, damn, it turns out this is illegal.
Like,
well,
like,
it's like all those shooters when they're going to a public school, they see the sign that says gun-free zone, and they go, oh, crap, I can't kill anybody here.
I can't use my 30-round magazine. I have to go down to 7 rounds. Oh, give me a break.
Look, that's the absurdity of it. I mean, look, it's, you know, we've kind of been playing on this
insane.
Don't Panic, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy theme. You know, the Vogons were blowing up the entire planet because they were building a bypass. You know, and the Vogons are the perfect example of, you know, bureaucrats that just go by the rules. And the fact is, it's absolutely, what Tech said was just spot on. I mean, you know, these congressional critters want to get reelected, so they harp on your emotions and your fear, and they say, we're going to do something about it. They can't do much about it. I'm not saying they can't do anything about it. There are certain measures that actually work, okay? But the fact is that criminals and evil and murderers will always be around. You will never get rid of them. And that's precisely why we have the Second Amendment. It is designed to prevent those kinds of people, whether they're in or out of uniform, from curtailing our liberties, whether it's some, you know, crazy guy who wants to blow up people at a marathon, or someone who wants to break into your house and kill your dog, or a cop that is overzealous, busts in the door in the wrong house, shoots your dog, and then threatens you. Okay? So that's why we have a Constitution. And the fact is that we're kind of forgetting that because we're afraid. We're afraid. So what do? We keep reelecting rhinos in the Republican Party just because they're not Democrats, as if that does anything. We keep expanding this bureaucratic police state as if it makes us safer rather than less free. And that's the fundamental problem. If you want to be free, put on your big girl panties and suck up the risk that comes with it. You know, the people came from all over the world to come to the new world, to come here in order to go their own way. That doesn't mean they don't live in community, they don't help each other out, but they didn't want to be told what to do by bureaucrats and government officials. And now we're reversing that, upending it, and putting it on its ass because we've become soft, affluent, weak, and over-informed. You know, all this posting on Facebook and tweeting, and it's actually, I think, putting pressure on these prostitutes because they can't manage a story as well because they got to scoop Twitter. So they start rushing out with all this bullshit information about who this is and what they did and start speculating about stuff, and people think it's actually facts and news. And it amps everything up, and then it causes you to start thinking about doing stupid things as opposed to thinking clearly. The clear fact
is, nobody reads Twitter. Mm-hmm. Twitter's just messages in a bottle thrown out in the ocean. Anyway. Everyone's
millions
like,
of
oh,
bottles.
I tweeted this. Millions. They threw another message in a bottle out in the ocean.
Did you even read it?
Yeah, nobody reads Twitter.
Well, there is an advantage to Twitter, though. For example, if there's a bill coming up and you tweet your guy, it's not like an email that's in his inbox only staffers see. It's on Twitter. Everybody sees it. And it's a good tool to use for that kind of thing. But the simple fact is that you got to have a cool head about you and look at the long game. All right? This is not the first attack, whether it's international terrorism, some lone wolf psycho, or a false flag. This isn't the first. And guess what? Unfortunately, it ain't going to be the last. If every time they do something like this, you're willing to cede your rights and your freedoms in order to get some false sense of security, then why are we talking about the Republican Party rules at this summer meeting coming up in Chicago? Why are we bothering with 2014 elections? Who cares? It doesn't matter who you vote for because it's just going to be one big police state. So, you know, bitch about it on Facebook, you know, and stock up on your MREs and your ammunition, cower in your basement, because guess what? When they come for you, you ain't going to last long. I mean, if you got an entire SWAT team coming at you because you posted something on Facebook but you have your AR-15, how long do you think you're going to fight them off? The fight is here and it's now. It's putting your head on right and making sure that you hold these congressional critters accountable and you support people like Rand Paul, Justin Amash, Ted Cruz, because they're actually up there standing for your liberty. Now, I've been seeing this other thing going around about while you were focused on all this stuff, they repealed the Stock Disclosure Act, and Rand Paul voted for it. And so now they can all go with their insider trading and all this kind of stuff. Well, guess what? That stuff's going on anyway. But Rand Paul didn't compromise anything because this law merely lifts the restriction on some congressional staffers. It doesn't lift the restriction on senators, congressmen, or the executive. So Rand Paul did not have any secondary gain in voting for this. So I'm getting kind of sick of every you're looking for a flaw in Rand Paul every time the guy sneezes. You have to figure out, oh, well, he's not like his dad. Okay, name one person up there on the Hill right now who's doing a better job defending your liberty. And I'm not even talking about 2016. I'm talking about right now. He's the current senator and the only one with balls enough to stand up there. And if you think for a second that these gun bill amendments failed, had nothing to do with Rand Paul, you'd be wrong. The fact that he and Cruz and Lee threatened the filibuster forced the Republicans to work this out because they didn't want them to filibuster, because when they filibuster, they get more popular than McCain, Graham, and all the other stale Moss assholes. And the Democrats didn't want it because when these guys filibuster, they take away the claim that the Democrats are the party of civil liberties. So, you know, you should thank them for that.
They're not.
I still think that bill was bullshit, though. That's all I'm saying. To relieve it for congressional staffers, but the Stock Act, the change in the Stock Act.
Oh, yeah.
Members of Congress and, you know, they can't trade on insider information, but members of their staff can. I mean, that's just going to increase the unit class versus the political class. I mean, it's a bad idea overall. And it's just going to increase the power of the staffers over the Senate, which, when you think about it, is only going to dilute the effect of your vote, because you can vote for a good senator or somebody that you like, and then they go into Congress, and then they're delivered into the hands of the congressional staffers. And it's already known that when you're running for Congress, you get support from the party based on, hey, we'll support you, but when you get elected, here are the people that you have to pick for your staff. Well, the staff people basically run the congressperson, because the congressperson is really spending most of his time trying to gain dollars. And so the staff is telling him how to vote. And so if, in order to get the nod to be the nominee or the candidate or to get the party support, you have to tell them that you're going to pick their staffers, and these staffers also are wealthy because they're trading on insider information that you have no access to, what does that do to the power of the congressman versus the power of the staff? The staff is more powerful. Right? So it's a bad deal all around.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it makes sense what you're saying. I think a big part...
I'm not laying it on the door of Rand Paul, but I am saying it's a bad bill.
No, I think the big part of it is that people were jumping on like they had reversed the congressional, you know, they're supposed to go on there and post what they do and expose what they do. you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, look.
That's what people were coming across with it.
Yeah, and but the problem that you run into with these kinds of things is that the entire financial system is inherently corrupt. And it started in earnest about 100 years ago this year when the so-called Federal Reserve scheme came online. So when you start, you know, tinkering around the edges, you're not really accomplishing anything. Go to the root, okay? It's the same thing with this, quote, war on terror, whatever. I mean, what a stupid idea. You've decided to engage in an unendless war with no geographical boundaries on a tactic. All right? I mean, what the hell is that? You know, sort of like the war on drugs. We're battling drugs. I mean, you know, we haven't killed or captured a single drug, you know, or the war on poverty. We start, you know, killing poor people. I mean, what kind of stupidity is this? The simple fact is that you have to look at the core root of the problem. The root of the problem is that people don't understand what liberty is, and people don't understand how the Constitution works, and so they're willing to put up with all sorts of crap so long as it feels good, okay? You know, well, I don't care if it's an unconstitutional war. It just feels good to go over there and kick ass. You know, whose ass are you kicking and why? You know, the whole point is, and we can go back to the Iraq War, which is now, what, 10 years old, and you've got, you know, the entire country pretty much, you know, against these endless wars now, except, oddly enough, the anti-war left just completely silent since Obama took over George Bush's wars and expanded them. But the simple fact is that you have to be prepared at any given moment for war. That's the mission of, quote, a Department of Defense, which we used to call the Department of War. To do that, you need to be ready to kick ass at a moment's notice. But you don't run around occupying the world because you engender more enemies. Okay? We don't have the money We don't have the manpower, even though now you're going to put women on the front lines too. Dumb move. Okay? So the simple fact is that you've got to look at the Constitution. If you don't like something that's in it, then you change it. These congressional assholes in the Senate shouldn't have been voting on any of these gun bills. Because if you want to do anything to restrict firearms ownership in this country, there is a process by which to do it. It's called Article 5 of the U.S. Constitution. It is the only way that you can legitimately change the Constitution. You cannot pass a bill that curtails any of the amendments without going through Article 5. And that requires that the majority of – not even the majority. It's two-thirds of the states – or is it three-quarters? You guys remember? Two-thirds or three-quarters for an amendment. Well, whatever.
Two-thirds.
Have to support changing the Constitution. You don't just get Congress to vote on it. But yet you're sitting here having this gun debate where you're like, call your senator, tell them to vote no. They shouldn't be having to vote in the first place. And that was the entire point of the Rand Paul, Mike Lee, and Ted Cruz filibuster. Okay, now granted, the bill got shot down, so Obama's now going to do it through executive orders to make sure that the mentally ill don't get weapons. Who defines
that's
that?
That's a big slippery slope.
Who defines
exactly.
that?
Well, during the Soviet age in Russia, basically anybody who thought that communism was a bad idea was deemed to be a crazy person and psychologically unstable. Mm-hmm. This is how they went after Natan Sharansky and a bunch of other dissenters, or refuseniks, is they used psychiatrists to state that this person had a mental illness. That's why they don't accept communism. They would lock him up and put him in a mental institution. So it's a slippery slope.
You mean like those crazy Christians and Tea Party people and gun nuts?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So if you start empowering the government to decide who is fit and unfit to have the constitutional protections that we all are granted by our Creator, according to our founding documents, well then, you know, you're done. It's just, you're done. I mean, there's really nothing else to go, nothing else to say about that. You will have lost all your freedom. You've turned everything over to the government because then they decide who has constitutional protections and who doesn't, which actually they're doing now by deciding, well, let's just strip him of the citizenship and just say he's an enemy combatant.
Now, that provision they used on this kid is an NDAA clause, right?
Well, I think as far as I know, they have not actually used anything yet. As far as I know, he's still being tried inside the legal system. What you do have are a bunch of, Republican people. As far as I know, it's all been Republicans. I haven't heard any Democrats say this so far, but that doesn't mean there haven't been any, who are saying that this person needs to be tried as an enemy combatant because it's the Republicans who are tough on national security, right? Which is why liberty-minded people in the Democrat Party are mistrustful of Republicans because they care too much. But they seem to be so concerned about national security issues that they have no concern about personal liberty issues. So that's kind of the issue there. It's been called for mostly by people in the Republican Party, people on the quote right, but it hasn't been enacted. But if I'm wrong,
John McCain's on the right.
I
didn't know John McCain was on the right.
In the press conference when they were all patting themselves on the back before the dancing in the streets, which just blew me away. That was the most depressing thing I'd ever seen.
It's sick.
It was stupid. It was ridiculous. But anyway, they actually asked the attorney general, the lady, I think she was the attorney general of Massachusetts, and they said, we used a such and such clause. We did not read him his Miranda rights. So they are actually dealing with him differently than they would to the Miranda system.
Technically, they're not
they're
actually involved because right now
clause.
he's in an induced coma. But what I believe they were talking about.
I'm talking
was
about
the
a
public,
legal thing, yeah.
Yeah, the public safety exemption to the Miranda.
Yeah.
Okay, and this actually, interestingly enough, this incident that sparked these cases.
Now, is that in the Constitution?
Miranda's not a constitutional thing. Miranda's not a constitutional thing. Okay, remember that. Miranda was a case in Arizona, Miranda versus Arizona, and it was about...
Wasn't Miranda in that movie that you guys like?
What movie?
The Tempest?
Firefly. Go ahead.
Wasn't that Prospero's daughter was Miranda, I think? Anyway, I digress.
It was the planet number. Anyway, I didn't mean to mess with that.
Miranda doesn't give you your rights, okay? And the cop doesn't give you your rights. You have your rights. The cop just has to clearly state them to you so that he makes sure that you understand them. And just for all of you out there in radio land, if you're ever in a situation with the police, whether you're guilty or innocent is irrelevant. If they start talking to you, just tell them you don't want to talk to them, you don't consent to any search or seizure, and call your lawyer. Because, you know, they can pin something on you. I'm not saying that they will, but there are bad cops and there are bad DAs, so, you know, be careful. But the simple fact is that they don't have to Mirandize him because on September 11th, 1980, there was a case in New York where a cop asked a guy questions, and it was deemed that it was legitimate for him to interrogate him about these things because there was a public safety issue that was immediate and needed to be dealt with. However, the information that is extracted from the suspect with the public safety exemption, just so that we're clear here, I'm not a lawyer, this is just my understanding of it, the public safety exemption doesn't necessarily permit that information that is elicited can be used against the alleged perpetrator in a court of law, but it can be used for intelligence purposes. So, for example, if this kid knows something about another attack, a secondary attack, some other kind of link that is imminent,
then
they can interrogate him to get that information in order to prevent that from happening or be able to attempt to prevent it from happening. But that information can't necessarily be used against him in a court of law until after he's Mirandized.
Yeah.
Now, there's nothing wrong with that.
But
treating him as an enemy combatant is basically
Miranda
saying that citizenship is questionable.
The Miranda rights are so well known that people overseas know the Miranda rights by heart. You know how? Because it's in our movies all the time. So everyone knows the Miranda rights. Everybody knows that you have the right to remain silent. So whether they read your Miranda rights or not doesn't really affect whether or not you have to talk or not. It's not like, oh, they can interrogate you now because they haven't read you your Miranda rights. You always have your Miranda rights. All they're saying is maybe this guy doesn't know he has the right to remain silent. Right? Well, I stipulate that pretty much everybody on planet Earth knows that Americans have the right to remain silent. So whether they read them the rights or not, I don't think really affects anything.
I wish some
Except
of them would fucking remain silent.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, shoot them
Especially
in the throat.
Especially if it's on TV.
Remain pretty fucking quiet.
Did you guys see the video? They actually let the video go of the infrared when they were above the boat on a helicopter.
I saw that.
Did you see Did you see the guy? I think the guy was trying to light off some bombs in the boat in the you saw up in the hull because he was back towards the kind of mid. Poof! There was another one. Poof! He was not doing well.
Well, they also used a couple of flash bangs against him. I mean, the concern was that he, you know, allegedly, we don't know the facts for sure, but allegedly his brother had a bomb strapped to his waist. So their concern was that this kid did too, which makes sense. But again, whether he didn't, all that kind of stuff, in a sense, it's irrelevant. The fact is, as an American citizen, you can't take away Fifth Amendment rights simply because you think that this is a terribly heinous act, okay? Because if you're willing to do it here, then all you're doing is setting a precedent that it can be done anywhere, anytime. What if they don't like, you know, your End the Fed sticker? Or they don't like your, you know, bumper sticker that says, you know, the voting for the lesser of two evils is the reason we have this government in the first place. You know, it's a very, very dangerous thing to do. Our rights are secured in the Constitution for a reason, because exigent circumstances, stress, emotional disturbances, they can cause us to be willing to give these things up. But unfortunately, when government takes a power, it rarely gives it back. In 1913, they implemented the income tax. It was supposed to be temporary, and it was only supposed to affect the 1% that are really wealthy. How's that working out for you? So don't give them a power they don't have by remaining silent. You may have the right to remain silent if you're in a police situation, but as an American citizen, you really don't have the right to remain silent when people in and out of the country are trying to take away the very fabric of what makes us a great nation. And the fear makes you think that we're losing. But the fact is that this is happening because we're winning the argument. And we are starting to unite across, quote, the left-right spectrum. You know, the Rand Paul filibuster drew out a lot of people from the left. It drew out the, quote, you know, libertarian Republicans, obviously. And, in fact, it drew out a lot of traditional conservative Republicans who are like, yeah, hold on a second. Is this the way we want to go? So when we start working together, they've got to amp up the fear to divide us, because together and united, we defeat them. So don't let your fear get the best of you. So we don't have all that much radio time left, but we got about a half an hour, so we'd like to hear from you. 646-649-1013. That's 646-649-1013. Call us about what's on your mind, especially regarding the bills that Congress passed this week, the executive orders that the guy occupying the White House is trying to implement, and all the chaos around the quote terrorist attacks. And the possible removal of constitutional privileges just because we feel hurt.
Did you guys read the article where the guy, and I didn't get a chance to follow up on it, but it's probably a Democrat in the Gang of Eight, was telling people this bombing is why we need to pass this immigration law right now, quickly?
I saw that, but I didn't read the article. What kind of insanity is that?
You saw the headline.
Yeah,
what
sense does that make?
Well, it... To me, an 844-page document that people who have scanned it and are digging into it are saying there ain't no damn enforcement issues. It's going to give these people legality, and enforcement's down the road. And enforcement, you know, is yet to be determined. And they're screaming at the top of their lung going, this is 1986 on steroids, which I think I said the first time somebody posted an article about this. You know, I wanted to give them a fair shake at it, and, you know, Rubio seemed to want to be in there and be part of it, and yeah, 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 rah, 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 and all this crap. But I said back then, I go, this is going to be 1986 all over again, but it's going to be bigger, badder, and the results are going to be horrendous. That was my, you know, opinion. Of course, people jumped down my throat because I threw it out there before I saw anything, but when 844 pages came out, and we're looking at these situations. I watched Obama give his speech, you know, after the guy was captured. And he, remember, Rex, I said, guy, it was just depressing. He had no inspiration. He had no punch, no leadership, no encouragement. It was just disgusting. And then I was out working in my yard, and I thought, you know,
how's
what?
That different than the last 5 years?
Yeah, but I bet he was pissed because this thing just upset his apple cart with gun grabbing, the immigration bill, and everything else he's trying to shove down our throat, because it's going to make people stand up and go, and our country isn't safe. These people are talking about, you know, border security first, and people are coming out who are reading the bill are going, this ain't going to happen. You know, who are we letting into our country? What the hell
this really
broken,
has,
you know?
Chris, the crazy thing is this has nothing to do with border security because these guys came in through the front door. They're not.
Yeah,
they didn't come. They didn't come in illegally.
But I'm talking about the whole dynamics of it. You know what I mean? The whole dynamics of who's coming into, who are we letting into our country, preferential treatment. You know, the whole.
It's all this political correct nonsense. Okay, about, you know, everybody's an immigrant in this country. And we have to be open to everything. Well, guess what? And these are European immigrants who have generally Christian values, came in the early centuries, mostly Irish and Italians and some Polish, right? They came into the country, and in many cases they were not treated well, they were different, we didn't understand them, whatever. But the simple fact is that you know, a generation or two later, they were Americans. But the fact is that until 1965, after the 30s, right, we had strong limitation on immigration in this country in order to allow these new Americans to blend in and become part of our culture and, you know, enhance our culture, okay?
We didn't have chain immigration either.
Well, also, look, when the country started and, you know, we were all a country of immigrants and everything, these weren't all, you know, we welcome you in immigrants. It was more like, get the hell out, immigrants. That's what Europe was saying, like, get the hell out. You got to go.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you going to go? I don't know. You go to America. you know. So, you know, the mindset back then was changed. It was, you know, you were leaving Europe. It's not like, oh, I'm being welcomed into America. I mean, well, being welcomed into America, half the time probably get an arrow in your chest, you know, or eaten by a bear or starved to death, you know, or something like that. So it's not like, oh, gee, I want to go to this land of milk and honey over here. It's like, holy crap, I'm going to America. I hope I can survive this thing. You know, too bad I can't get in Europe. Are they going to kill me there? Are they going to persecute me because I wear funny hats and have a strange interpretation of you know, the Christian religion?
Yeah, they actually had, you know, the same thing that happened in Australia. A lot of people don't know, but the British were sending indentured servants and criminals over here, just like they did in Australia.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, the first slaves in this country were actually, you know, white Europeans. Gentlemen, we have a caller. I'm going to bring you on 828. If for whatever reason you don't want to talk with us and just want to listen, just let me know and I'll put you back on mute. But 828, you are live with Tex and Rex and Chris. What is on your mind?
Hello, guys. This is Terry Sidney from North Carolina.
Oh, hey,
Terry.
How are
Terry.
You?
Good. Hi, guys.
Hey, good to hear from you. You're very, you sound very synthesized.
Are you on a satellite phone in South Africa somewhere?
No, just on a cell phone.
Wow.
You sound like you're on the deck of the Heart of Gold broadcasting from 72 light years away.
Well, I could be, but I'm not that far, but it should be maybe half a light year.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Yeah. Should I call back?
Yeah.
Terry,
might be a good idea, Terry.
Give it another shot, yeah.
Just call back.
I'll call right back, thanks. Okay.
All right, thanks a lot.
All right, well, we'll bring Terry on as soon as I see Terry light up on the board. I'll bring him right back on. But, you know, I think the important thing, guys, is for people to understand that liberty is worth fighting and dying for. But this false sense of safety that you think that you can acquire by giving up your liberty is just a foolish road to go down under any circumstances. And when, you know, whether you're going the whole, you know, this is a false flag, New World Order government conspiracy thing, or you're going, hey, look, I don't care what they had to do. They caught the guy and I feel safer. Both of those extremes are not the appropriate way to handle this because both of them are preying on fear. And the very simple fact is what you need to do is understand we have a constitutional framework and it entails risk. And you got to learn to deal with the risk. And the best way to handle the risk is the best way the Founding Fathers found to handle everything else, diffuse power and local rule. And the most local rule is your own body, your own home, and your own right to property and life, okay, because you're the first responder. So quit trying to delegate that to other people and then bitch about the fact that they might abuse that. And that's really a simple thing. We got Terry back. Terry, let's see if you sound better.
Is it any better this time?
Oh, it's fantastic.
Oh, my God, like night and day.
It's like we went through ludicrous speed.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear that. I just had a bad connection, so I'm glad I got through. I've been listening to you guys for the last 45 minutes. I just thought I'd give you a quick call. If you don't mind, I'd like to kind of pose a comment and a question and then say something. This is something for you to ponder on later. First of all, is that I would never try to give any acclaim or reasoning behind anything that these radical Islamists and Muslims do to this country, because we know what they do is hate Americans and they want to kill us. So what I'm posing is this, is that two occurrences. Number one is the attack in Benghazi. I think until we get the truth on that, I don't think we'll understand the ramifications that causes to all people who are Muslims or in the Middle East or whatever it may be. And I don't think we know that except for us who believe that there's more to that than may ever come to truth unless Daryl Issa's committee really forces this to happen. The second thing is the thing about these unmanned drones. And I'm not saying I'm against unmanned drones, but I question the authority and legality of using drones to attack a sovereign nation. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just understanding is it legal, internationally legal? And I say that because I know that under George W. Bush we used drones, but I'm not sure how much, but we did. But we seem to use them just at will now. And I wonder how much if this country, if a drone from Canada or Mexico dropped a bomb in Rochester, New York,
or in Abilene, Texas. How long will we stand for a drone dropping bombs on citizens in this country?
We would never stand for a drone from Mexico or Canada dropping bombs on American citizens. We will only allow the American government to do that.
Well, I mean, what I'm saying, but if Canada did that, would we tolerate that one moment? Or if Mexico dropped a drone in America for one moment, would we tolerate that? We expect Pakistan to accept the fact we find enemies there, we drop them. Now, I don't have any problems with us withdrawing our troops out of Afghanistan or cutting off all ties with Pakistan. But when we start dropping drones, I'm just saying, and dropping bombs from drones, I'm just questioning is, did we legitimize terrorism by doing that? Whether it's right or wrong in our behalf or our beliefs, are we legitimizing terrorism against us? That's one of my questions.
Right. Well, I wouldn't say we're legitimizing it, Terry, because there's no legitimate excuse for terrorism, but we certainly are instigating it. I mean, the fundamental problem, there's nothing, look, a drone is like a knife, a fork, a spoon, or a gun. It's just a tool. But the problem with drones is that they can only do two things. They can either observe or kill. They can't apprehend. They can't acquire intelligence, you know, human intelligence from, you know, a person. They can't interrogate them. And they have a horrible failure rate of massive collateral damage, which inspires terrorists. But the real issue with drones isn't so much should they be used in a tool as a weapon of war. It's more should they be used domestically. That's a serious problem. And you know, the fact
well,
is
I
that
think, I think but I think Rand Paul brought that part. I'm just talking about internationally. When Rand Paul did the filibuster, which I watched every minute of, I think he opened people's eyes about drones. But I think he's opened eyes this. I still question the fact is in aggression. If we're fighting a war, if we're fighting a war with Pakistan, I think we have the right to use any weapons we have. I didn't know we had declared war against Pakistan or any other country that we use in drones. So therefore,
well, we haven't declared war since 1942.
Well,
against Bulgaria.
I fought in Vietnam, and not because it's what I was told to do. But my question is this: I don't justify the fact. And as a conservative, I believe in fighting for what we believe in. But I'm not sure we have the right to, without a war of any kind, you talk about a war on drugs and a war on poverty. We try to drop bombs there, it doesn't work. So what makes you think that dropping bombs in Pakistan at the drone, I think what occurs is this. Those enemies that are ours complain, well, they have no blood given in our country, so therefore, because they use drones instead of their blood, their soldiers, and we have a right to put bombs on their streets. Don't get wrong, I think they would do this if you didn't do drones. But I'm just saying, I don't believe that gives us the right to drop bombs in other countries. I don't think we have a right to take the rights of Americans away, even though they do terrible acts. Now, I don't believe the death penalty except for when you have wild animals, and you put a wild animal down by putting them to sleep. Well, the people that kill unmerciful like this are animals, and therefore they're put down. And I don't believe in abortion either. But if you leave these drones, and our drones, I'm not talking about drones that are there for information or spying. I'm talking about drones that drop bombs. You can be pretty specific. You're still going to kill, quote-unquote, innocent people. So therefore, I don't know why we as American people, our government has any more right to drop bombs than to buy a drone than the other countries have on us. They drop them on Israel. We don't believe that either. So that's the question.
Well,
you take away those rights there of those people believe that before we drop, they can take away our rights, and then we can take away American rights by saying we're going to take it to a military court. So I don't believe in either one of them.
Yeah, well, I think, Terry, you raise an interesting and also complex point, which is, you know, okay, so terrorists are doing things. They're, you know, coming over here. They're blowing things up, and then we have drones. And we're going into their country and blowing things up, and neither of which has the sanction of law is kind of the issue. And so, you have a tit-for-tat situation. Well, in the one case, you have, like, a bombing something like the Boston Marathon, where people were injured who didn't have anything to do with it. There was no, you know, legitimate target there in the sense of, you know, if they were upset about Chechnya or what was going on there, which really is kind of bizarre because the United States was always on Russia's case about what they were doing in Chechnya. If you go look back at that conflict, we're stating that you know, they were being too aggressive and that they shouldn't be doing that. So it's kind of odd to bomb us for the events in Chechnya when we were acting to try to restrain the Russian government at the time.
If we believe, if we make this guy a enemy combatant from Chechnya, that may well give us the right to bomb Chechnya with drones. Have you ever thought about that?
Well, I don't know if it would give us the right, but it would certainly be a pretext.
Yeah, exactly.
Obama may believe he has the right to bomb Chechnya with drones because one of their so-called past citizens bombed Boston.
Well, Obama also believes that a community organizer is qualified to be president.
I can't wait to see Putin deal with that flying drones over Russia, bombing things in Russia. I can tell you right now that's not going to be happening.
Here's the real problem. You know, especially regarding the younger, the one that's still alive. He's not Chechen. First of all, he was born in Dagestan, which is Russian Federation, not Chechnya. And second of all, he's an American citizen. Third of all, as Tex brought up, Chechens don't really have a problem with the United States. They have a problem with Russia. So it is more likely that these guys were being used by some other entity, and that's where this whole Saudi deported guy and the Saudi connection. It's likely that their handler was a Saudi Salafist rather than this kind of Chechen movement of Islamists, because otherwise they would be bombing the marathon in Moscow, not Boston. So, this information hasn't all come in.
Hold on, which gets to the other part of what I was saying, which is that they're coming over here, they're bombing innocents, which is the essence of terrorism, is that you're hitting illegitimate targets or militarily illegitimate targets in order to create terrorism, whereas our drones are attacking what we believe to be our opponents and militarily legitimate targets. That doesn't mean that innocents don't get killed in it because we have an inexact weapon.
But you don't see their guidance systems. You don't know what you're attacking. You have never seen their guidance systems. I've never seen them. I knew what we attacked in Vietnam. Let me tell you what. We killed thousands of citizens.
The point is not to kill innocents, though. You're trying to hit what you think to be a legitimate target. Now, whether or not it turns out your intelligence was any good or your missile turned out to have good guidance, you know, is sort of, you know, it's an interfering factor. But the intent, it goes down to the intent, which is that you're trying to kill what you believe to be a legitimate target. And if you don't kill that target, then you're going to have to go back and find that target again. So you want to be as accurate as possible because otherwise you're wasting resources.
Well, you're talking about this kid's being an American citizen. There are people who come here illegitimately and have children, and they're American citizens. So I'm not sure this guy who got here and got amnesty is any more American citizen than those who are born here illegally.
He's naturalized. He's naturalized.
Well, he didn't go through a process. He didn't go through the same process it normally takes. I promise you, he got asylum first, and he got pushed through the system. And I know how he got through the system because he got through the push of the system because of extreme liberal people, because I know who they are. I read about them. And they pushed him through the system. And I have friends who are married to Canadians, and it takes them 9 years to get through the system. So then I go back and ask the question, which I start to ask is this. I hear this about I've heard this now for 4 years now, that we need reform, immigration reform. Yet I haven't been told me, what's wrong with our immigration policy today? What needs to be reformed? All I hear is we need reform. What needs to be reformed? I haven't heard.
How about so long as one out of four Americans doesn't have a job, you don't invite more people in?
When unemployment's over a certain rate, nobody else is coming in for a while, or nobody else. Christening any more citizens or whatever it is, minting new citizens while unemployment's too high.
The president can do that by executive order. He don't need to change reform policy.
Yeah.
Well, let's face it. The president was born as a British national. I don't think he's going to change the policy.
Do we want to talk about immigration, or are we going back to drones?
Well, I just think it's all related. I think immigration. I think drones. I think I think Benghazi, all this is related to what's going on in Boston and what's going on. It's going to happen even more in the future. I think because we're such a weak country, and all we want to do is reform that. We want to reform the gun laws, and we want to reform immigration laws, and yet nobody tells me what's wrong with them. Listen, we have a right in this country to decide our choice of how this country grows. And immigration laws are not that complicated. That they, nobody even reads them. I haven't read any parts of it that tells me that we can't limit immigration right now. We just don't do it.
Well, they say it takes too long and it's too difficult. What are you talking about? It's too difficult. We're letting all these people in. I mean, people are getting in legitimately. You know, you have all these visa systems, H-1Bs, J-1 visas, all these other sort of visa programs. Nobody's complaining about those. You know, so what's the problem? Well, the real problem is, you have illegal immigrants coming over from, you know, essentially mostly Mexico, which is where a lot of people are coming in from because it's a border of opportunity. So they come here and they're working here like, oh, we have all these people who are here, quote, illegally, and therefore we have to make them citizens. Well, I don't see that as a compelling reason to make them citizens just because they escaped
also,
over here. And
we do not call people with visas because they come here with a limited visa, and when their visa's up, we don't know where they are. We don't matter if they are illegal. We don't care about whether it's either one, illegitimate or legitimate. People come here and they got, looked at this guy, the older brother. Went back. He's not a citizen. He doesn't live here. And yet he went to Russia for 6 months and came back and he'd been noticed and nobody paid attention. So we don't know where the people are with legitimate visas. And there's 9 different kinds of visas you can get.
I don't think that the older brother was here on a visa. I think the older brother was a resident alien applying for citizenship.
Yes.
Which is different. And look, and by the way, most quote illegal aliens, as Tex pointed out, do cross the Mexican borders. They're overwhelmingly Mexican, but you're also getting a lot of other Central Americans coming there. But you're also getting other than Mexican who are not from Central America. You're getting Persians. You're getting Hezbollah. You're getting all sorts of chaos, and plus the drug cartel. So that border is a serious security risk. But a lot of people come here on student
40%.
Visas or work 40%. Visas and just overstay the visa. And the fundamental problem is, the fundamental problem is that when you have these security risks and when you have these economic risks, it is incumbent upon the government to control the border so that you filter out people who might be bringing in diseases that we are not immune to and people that are bringing in elements that we don't want and also, you know, destabilizing the economy. When you have people coming in here who are willing to underbid American workers, that's a serious problem when 1 out of 4 people doesn't have a job. Now, that doesn't mean that you indefinitely close the borders and don't allow immigrants in, especially when you're only multiplying at barely the rate of 2.1 children per woman. So, you know, the real issue is that you just have to slow it down until you get a little better control on these things from both the security risk standpoint, the health risk standpoint, and actually, thirdly, the economic standpoint. So I agree with Tex. Just because somebody's here illegally is no reason to make them a citizen. Now, during the Republican primary, there was an intelligent, compassionate, and legal idea put forward, and someone was attacked for it. And that was Speaker Newt Gingrich. Because the simple fact is, if you've got 12 or 20 million people that are living here illegally, and they've been here for 25 years, and their kids were born here, so they're essentially Americans, shipping them back home is not a solution, and it's pragmatically untenable, okay? But we also have MS-13, gangs, drug cartels, foreign terrorists here, and by all means, those should be shipped back and never allowed back in. So, but this entire conversation is pointless until you have a secure border, because if you just ship them back and go through the expense of sending them back to where they came from, they're just going to
come back
across that border. Yeah.
So let me throw something in here. I heard from, I think it was Rep. King, was on this looking at the bill pretty aggressively, and he says there's provisions in there for all bunch of these people that we've kicked out of here to come back in and take advantage of this new immigration bill. Well, many of them will anyway. They've got time now. We now realize we're not going to kick anybody out, so everybody comes in now. And I promise you, it's not 11 million. It'll probably be 18 million before it gets done.
Yeah, especially when all the ones we've kicked out get to come back.
Yes, and their families, and their relatives, and their friends. And you're right, they're not from Mexico. They're from Central and South America, and they're from other parts of the world. They're just coming in. That's their portal.
But look, here's the thing. We need and we want immigrants. That's how this country was built, by getting the best and the brightest from all over the world to come here. But the kind of immigrants that have come here most of our history are people who came here to be Americans. All right. Yeah, now we're getting a lot of people who want to come here to take advantage of America, but don't really want to be Americans. If you don't want to be an American, that's perfectly okay. But then go be whatever else you want to be. If you want to be a strict, observant Muslim and live under Sharia law, that's fine. You know, that's your choice. But you don't get to do that here. There's plenty of countries where you can do that. If you want to come here, it's because you want to be American. But see, unfortunately, we're breeding a lot of people in this country who hate America. So why on earth would we want to import more? Okay, yeah, the simple fact is most Americans don't know what it means to be an American anymore.
Here's the second part of your equation. Not only are we allowing that immigration in here, what we're doing is the people who have assimilated, who are natural Americans and who assimilated to be Americans, are now having children at a much lesser rate, at a rate of 1.1, and we need 2.7 just to maintain America. So therefore, at this rate, we have a multiplier effect. Not only is that increase comes in from the people that shouldn't be here, the criminal types, whatever it may be, or the people who do not want to assimilate as Americans, will increase. The number of real Americans who want to be Americans will decrease. So at some point, America will no longer be America. And when you do that, you can change the Constitution, you can change it all, and America will not survive. People think America will survive.
I hate to tell you this, but that's already happened.
It's not reached a point of no return. It's just real close, because how many people you know have more than two kids anymore, unless they're wealthy?
Actually, the wealthy don't have more than two kids for the most part either. I think you're absolutely right, but this is a global problem. I mean, look, Russia, speaking of Dagestan and all that
stuff,
in Russia, you've got a nation that was 150 million not 10 years ago, and by 2050 it'll be less than 70 million, and that includes the fact that 20% of their population is already Muslim, because the Soviets expanded into, the southern regions of where there were Muslim populations. So, the real question you have to ask yourself is, what does it mean to be an American? And the fact is, to be an American means to believe in America. And what does that mean? That means that you believe that you are given by God, okay, unalienable rights to life, liberty, and property. That's what it means. Because in most places in the world, you don't have a respect for property, and liberty is grossly ill-defined. So that's what it means. But unfortunately, we have elected idiots, and we have a government school system that is teaching people to despise those very things. When you're killing 3,000 to 4,000 of your own children every day under cover of law, when you are willing to give up essential liberties in order to get some kind of false pretext of security, and when you are willing to eliminate property rights through gross taxation, confiscation, and all sorts of other regulatory manners, then what does it mean to be an American anymore? If I don't have a right to my life, if I don't have any liberty and I can't own property, does America exist? Well, that's what we're fighting for, isn't it?
Without liberty, there is no America. So now, it's not there yet, but we've lost so much of our liberty. And the nation of Islam and Muslim is that people say that in Christianity you have Christianity overrides rule of law. It does not. Christianity is in concert with the rule of law. The Sharia law and Muslim is in opposition to the rule of law. So therefore, and I don't care if you're a Muslim, but if you believe that you have a power higher than common law instead of in concert with it, then as far as I'm concerned, that's anti-American.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care who you are. If you don't believe in the liberty of America and the freedoms we have now, inherent by God given, then therefore you're not, as far as I'm concerned, you're not an American. If you're not willing, my motto was, as a member of the First Air Cab was, just like Patrick Henry, give me liberty or give me death, and I fought for that. And I got blown up in the sky because of that. And I'm thankful I'm alive, and I'll tell you this. And every day I fight that same battle. But if we choose to stop fighting the battle for liberty on every level, and we need to forget about federal government for a little bit at every level, at the city, at the state, at the county, every level, we're not going to fight this at the federal level. We're going to lose the battle. Our churches aren't fighting, and our Christians aren't fighting. So how are we going to expect anybody else to fight?
That's right. Boy, you nailed that one, Terry.
I'm fighting with my church right now because my church don't want to fight.
These churches, well, man, I have no idea what has happened to churches in the last decade, but they're gutless. And the pastors are not teaching people. You know, you don't have to tell people how to vote. You just got to tell people to get involved. It's like, how many tens of millions of Christians don't even get up and vote anymore? And I'm like, what the hell is wrong with you people? This is your country. This country was set up for you. It was set up for religious freedom, and you hide in your damn churches and you don't get involved. It just blows me away.
As much as I didn't care for Mitt Romney, if Christians were just going out and voted for Mitt Romney, he would have been president. It couldn't have been worse what we have. It's not possible. It may not have been much better, but it couldn't have been worse. And yet they didn't even vote.
Terry, I have to disagree with you. Terry, I think it could have been worse. Because if Mitt Romney had won, we'd be in the same crap we're in right now, except that the Republican Party would not be willing to even give the grassroots and real conservatives a chance at having a voice, because they would say, hey, look, our douchebag Rhino won without your help, so we don't need you. So I think it actually could have been worse.
But I'm saying they didn't even vote. It wouldn't have mattered anymore. We haven't had a choice to vote. This is two times we have nobody to vote for. The only person we had to vote for was Sarah Palin. That's the only person we had to vote for in the last two elections. Three elections.
That's right.
That's the only person we had. Nobody else ran for elections. Except Newt Gingrich, who gave the clearest message, and he was fought by not only the Democrats and newspapers, but Mitt Romney destroyed any chance of Mitt Romney of Newt Gingrich being president. We all know
that. Absolutely. In order to run Mitt Romney, who had nothing to speak for him to be president, except, you know, he said essentially, I'm going to do the same policies as Obama. He's a nice guy. I'm just a better manager. And that was the problem with
the candidacy. I'm a better manager. That's the only difference.
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, an election of Romney is not really going to do anything to fix our problem. It's going to make us feel better because, hey, our team won, but in a way it's worse because it lulls us to sleep. But, yes, I mean, I think what you're trying to say, or at least I think what's in your subconscious essentially, is that this BS about us being a center-left country is not true. We just had a very flawed candidate, and people were turned off by him, and they didn't show up to vote. So this crap that we've lost the country, you know, there's more takers than makers now, that's all BS. It's just you had a very flawed candidate, and so Mitt Romney's defeat actually creates the reflection that I think the party needs so that we can go on and win in the future.
Yeah.
So if people had showed up to vote, absolutely, we would have won. The problem is we didn't create a reason for people to show up to vote. Now, if you had had a candidate, Gingrich, people would have showed up to the poll to vote for him positively. Like, yes, just what this guy says, I believe. You know, I want to do this because I want to fix the country. You know, what they were saying with Mitt Romney is, well, this is your only choice, and it's your only way to stop Obama. And what people said was, that's not a good enough reason for me to get up off my ass and go to the polls.
Yep. Well, unlike most of the procrastinators, I didn't see any chance of us winning. I guess I was hoping that something would happen, but I didn't know what it was. I think I was hoping to throw into a – so nobody wanted to go to the House of Representatives. I think that's the only thing I was hoping for, because I don't think I really could sleep good thinking that either – I couldn't sleep at all with Obama knowing Obama, and couldn't sleep well with Romney. So I agree, and I don't see much better hope. And I hate to see if something happened and Boehner be president. I mean, it's just literally it's sickening to think this. It's sickening about our churches and Christians that don't take action. You're right. Don't tell people how to vote. Just show them how people are doing. That's all. Just share what the gospel's supposed to be, and everybody will know what to do right.
Well, if you look at voter participation, I mean, it used to be incredibly high in this country, like 80%. And then all of a sudden there's this precipitous drop-off after the turn of the 20th century, and it's never gotten back up there. So large portions of
we destroyed the moral majority. We got rid of all those people, made fun of them, and they're the ones that carried the votes, and now they're gone.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. People said, okay, well, they don't want my vote.
Gentlemen, let me interrupt you real quick because we're about to spill in overtime. I didn't realize that we'd gone that long. Real quick, if anybody wants to continue listening to this live, you've got less than a minute and a half to call in. 646-649-1013. That's 646-649-1013. I won't have time to bring on any callers, but you can listen live. If you're in podcast, I apologize for the interruption. Continue. Back to you guys.
Well, so where were we? It, you know, essentially people stopped participating in the system, and people became progressively more and more disillusioned. Well, when you had 80% voter participation, I think the politics of the country reflected more of what people wanted to see. And then people felt like, oh, well, I can't do anything about the system, so I'm just going to turn around and, you know, sit on my butt and focus on my own personal life or whatever it is. And now you have voter participation down into the, you know, 20% range. And now what is Washington's ability or willingness to reflect what people actually want? They're like 80% of the people don't give a crap. And then half the people who participate don't even know what's going on.
I think the word is apathy. I've never thought that apathy would be the most controlling factor in election anymore. Because I mean, I live in a private neighborhood that's really secure. It's really safe, and I think people look out their doors and go, "Isn't it wonderful out here? It's peaceful. It's quiet. We don't have to worry about crime. We don't have to worry about vandalism. We don't have to worry about interruptions. You know, it's just we have a closed community here. It's protected. It's gated, and it just." The whole world, the rest of the world must be the same way. So, therefore, there's nothing I need to do. As long as I lock my doors at night, I'm safe, and my community's safe. The rest of the world must be just like this. And Obama can't be too bad because, well, none of my people in my neighborhood are having it bad. But a lot of people in my neighborhood are retired. So, I think that's what people think. I don't think people see outside their neighborhood. They don't read the news, and they don't watch the news. So what do they see? They talk to their neighbor and they go, "How's things?" "Oh, good. I played golf today." "Well, do you work?" "Oh, no. I'm retired and I'm doing well." And so they don't talk to the unemployed where I live. They don't know that where I live, the unemployment is probably 19%, and they call it 11%. My guess is probably 19 to 20%, but nobody sees them where I live. In each little neighborhood, there's pockets of people all over the world that don't see anything outside their door. So if the debt is so bad, why is it not impact? Why is the inflation rate only 1.2%?
Because they're holding it down.
That's not the inflation rate. That's the consumer price index.
A bit higher than that. Yeah,
it's like 12%. People don't see that. They don't compare the growth. They don't know how much they paid for a loaf of bread 3 months ago. They don't know a gallon of milk used to be $2.20, now $3, $4.20. People don't see that. They go, "Well, I can still buy groceries. I have to buy some discounts, but it must not be so bad because I don't see my neighbors sleeping on the streets."
Well, that's because 47 million people are in bread lines, but the bread lines are invisible because they're on debit cards.
Bingo. That's what I was
okay. Thinking. So the fact
we have a soup kitchen here in Hickory, a soup kitchen. They just got a contribution from one of the major grocery stores Friday, for $17,000. They just got a bank to approve them they bought a building to $250,000 to remodel this building and make so they can, instead of serving 225 people a day, they can serve 400 people a day. And there's no tax money involved, so it must be good because everybody gave the money for it. So we just keep feeding more people. So it's a good place
to live. Well, grocery stores have not been affected because the government's given everybody money and food stamps. So
the food stamp program is not welfare for the poor. The food stamp program is wealth transfers from citizens who are forced to pay taxes to the food corporations, and that's
huge.
Pretty much
it's
what it
huge.
Is.
Huge money.
The fact is all this stuff is done under the false pretext of sentimentalism, and most people are willfully, because in this day and age you don't have really an excuse, are willfully ignorant about how economics works, how the Constitution works, how our electoral process works, and most people just have a fundamental misunderstanding about what it means to be an American. Our Constitution is designed to
resist. You know what you're saying, though? Our only hope is that it gets 10 times worse. That's our only hope.
Yep. Well, I wouldn't say that's our hope, but it's likely to get way more than 10 times worse before enough people wake up. But I wouldn't say that's our only hope because it's always been a minority that moves the spirit of the age, not a majority. Most people are not leaders. Most people are followers. But in this country, what's important is to understand that the Constitution limits the scope and power of government, that our rights are unalienable, But with those rights comes a duty and a responsibility. And that's where we're failing, because we don't want to live up to our duties, and we certainly don't want the responsibility, and that's why tyranny is spreading. So the simple fact is people really got to just, you know, sack up and realize that if you want liberty, it comes with inherent risk, and it comes with the duty to defend it. And if we had truly, like the Second Amendment states, well-regulated militias, I guarantee you these terrorists wouldn't have the balls to blow anything up in our country, because every citizen would be armed and we'd kill them.
Well,
okay,
how are the people going to realize that's what we're going to do? Only if it impacts them or their relatives or their kids. I'm telling you, I watch this every day. I'm out in this public, and I'm seeing people going, kind of thinking, oh, I just got a raise. Well, do you know how bad it is? Well, it can't be that bad. It can't be. If it was that bad, the news people, the media would tell us how bad it is.
Well, you know, if that's what people want, then that's what they're going to get, and tyranny will ensue, and the thing will collapse, and then, you know, some of us will survive, and some of us will die, and we'll rebuild. But I don't think it has to get that bad, because I think that most people know that there's a problem inherently. They're engaging in avoidance behavior because it seems overwhelming. And what they need to do is they need to be inspired by leadership. And leadership needs to be someone in public, because, you know, this little blog talk radio show ain't going to create enough of a momentum. But please do right-click the download link button below the show icon and download an MP3 and share it with your friends and let them know to listen to the show. But you know, someone like Rand Paul, I mean, the 13-hour filibuster was probably the most relevant conversation had on the Senate floor, and I don't know how long, and it was 13 hours that was a beautiful constitutional lesson delivered well. You know, and I think C-SPAN had the highest ratings they've had since Gingrich used to take the floor. So it's these kinds of things that need to happen.
When did they change the rules about filibuster so that you can't leave the floor and go down? When did that rule get changed?
I don't think that it got changed. I think that's been the rule.
Yeah.
No, remember, basically, it chains off back and forth in filibuster for days.
Yeah, you could hand the thing over. Yeah, I noticed that too, Jerry.
Yeah.
You're right about that.
Well, no, he did.
He
handed
it
over, but he could. Yeah, they're trying to exactly. They changed the rules so they could go to the bathroom
or they could not hand it over. They could not leave the floor.
Correct, but understand
that
something.
That rule's been changed.
Understand something. Dr. Rand Paul is a physician, and I suspect that next time he goes up the filibuster, he'll probably fit himself with a catheter first. So expect a longer than 13-hour filibuster next time.
I mean, I just assumed he already did that.
Well,
remember, when he ended his filibuster, he said he had to go see a man about a horse.
Yes, but he said I have to use your bat. He said I can't hold it any longer. I got to go. And he did. But he turned other people. He could do that. Could speak, but he couldn't turn it over. Because he turned it over, he'd lose it. And they changed the rules. I'm telling you, I think they changed the rules. Harry Reid changed the rules when they took over Senate. So those rules have gone for a full-time filibuster. You can't filibuster like that for long anymore, except for as long as you don't have to go to the bathroom.
All the breaks on Washington Power are being thrown out. You're like, oh, well, people could use this mechanism in order to, you know, stop what Washington wants to accomplish, so let's weaken it, you know, and then we'll wrap it up in some mom and apple pie reason, and people go along with it and support the fact that we've weakened this break on federal power. I mean, that's the problem. And then you have an apathetic population, 80% of which don't even pay attention to what's going on. 20% of the people do participate in politics, and half of those don't know what the hell is going on anyway. So, you know, you got 10% of the people paying attention. That's it.
No, that's probably always been the case to one degree or another. I think the point that we're missing is, and who knows what happens with the bills that they're passing this week, but what we're missing is that we have an incredibly unique opportunity in history to have the second, or for us Southerners, third American Revolution within the form this time, not a shooting war, but a war of ideas, and we can wage it because of the power of the internet, social media, the alternate media, and the fact that all of these things that we've been promised for so long by both parties have proven to be utter failures that cost more money than we've got and curtail liberty. This is a unique opportunity to make significant changes to what essentially has been a 100-year system of vultures and parasites plucking the American chicken, just doing it slowly enough that you don't kill the chicken. And I think that it's important to, rather than give in to fear and despair about what people are not doing, I think this is the time to be excited about the power that is at our fingertips to make the change. And I really got to give credit to Dr. Ron Paul and the Ron Paul Republicans for showing that through tenacity and understanding the rules and having a love for liberty, you can make big changes. And granted, the Tampa was a horrible debacle, but it proved that this organization that professes to be conservative can actually be taken over by conservatives. It's just that a lot of people don't know what it means to be conservative. Some of the libertarian elements think that being conservative means, you know, do whatever the hell you want to do, and some of the more, you know, standard run-of-the-mill conservatives think that conservative means supporting a party that's willing to curtail your liberty so long as they, you know, speak to you about the things that matter to you.
Yeah.
And the fact is that conservative is conserving the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. If you have a problem with either of those two documents, I will buy you your airline ticket one way, anywhere you want in the world. Just don't fucking come back, you know, because that's what America's about.
Well, I totally trust what you're saying, and I want to believe this. The problem is this. I think I'm not sure who Rex, somebody said it. We have to have a forum. And I think that Rand Paul has a forum that he can use one, but I think the internet problem with the internet is that we don't. It's not a big enough forum. We need to have a movement that literally revolutionizes without guns, without bullets, a way to move conservatives inch forward and inch it every day to the point where it's heard every day. And with the internet, you have people on all these Twitters and all this stuff. You have a lot of people who are not conservatives, who pretend to be conservatives, that confuses people, and they quit. People get tired, they get confused, they get quit because they throw their ideas out, and they get ostracized, so they quit. But when you got somebody that's a true conservative, and I believe
Rand Paul is. That's what they did to the Tea Party movement.
Yes,
and
look what
they went in.
Now,
all these people said claimed to be Tea Party, and it was crazy stuff. Anyway, go ahead.
And we don't know where the Tea Party is going to be in 2014 until right before the election either. We don't know where the strength is because tell me who's leading the Tea Party? Who is it?
Who's leading the Tea Party?
Ted Cruz? Yeah, Ted Cruz?
Well, it's Marco Rubio, according to the media. Marco Rubio is a Tea Party darling. Really? He is?
It's Ted Cruz. Sarah Palin single-handedly helped Ted Cruz get elected.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then you have that. So if you, but the, there's not enough people tagging on. There wasn't enough people on this floor thing with Rand Paul because I think people associate Rand Paul with his father too much. And his father's kind of kooky about things. Although I like him, he's still kooky.
I don't know that he's kooky. I think that people didn't understand what he was saying.
Well, as far as foreign policy, some of his foreign policy I don't agree with. And as far as just legalizing all kind of drugs I don't agree with. But I'm just saying, and the other things I do, but Rand Paul seems to be more conservative than his father.
In some ways he is, in other ways he's not. But I mean, the fact is that, you know, I love the fact that we let small criticisms on authentic conservatives loom large while we overlook the complete lack of conservatism of someone like John McCain, John Boehner, Lindsey Graham, and unfortunately most quote conservative voters.
I don't consider them conservatives at all.
No, I know you don't.
I consider most conservative voters. Well, I don't think most people consider McCain. Most people that I know and deal with can say John McCain should retire and go home. He's finished with them. And Lindsey Graham is a power. He flips every day according to whose side he wants to be on. He's not a conservative. He's a power grabber.
Right.
Exactly.
See, the problem, Terry, is that these are. Go ahead, Tex.
They all want to get out in front of the issue and say that they have the solution for the issue, but they're not guided by principle. They're guided by the news of the day and whatever seems to be popular at the moment. I mean, that's the essence of a rudderless politico. And so, you know, they claim to, oh, I'm a conservative, but at the end of the day, I don't have any actual principles except what is today's headline and how will this advance my reelection? Well, that's
they don't
not
have
a principled politician. Absolutely.
They don't have any principles,
nothing,
and they don't have any convictions.
dispatcher.
It's all self-interest.
They sway.
All right, gentlemen, we've gone a little bit in overtime, and there's four of us talking, so it's likely to take a little while to do closing thoughts. So why don't we go in for the kill with some final thoughts about bombs, Boston, and blowback, and we'll start with our honorary guest tonight, Mr. Sigmund, and then we'll go to Chris, and then Tex, and then I'll bring it home.
Okay, I'm going to make mine quick and short about the I've always said my piece about the bombs and stuff, but the Boston thing, I'm so puzzled about everything that occurred in Boston. I'm not sure I totally believe everything I saw. I still don't know if the truth has been told yet. I'm not sure, and I told my wife that I don't believe either one of these people will survive this thing because I don't think they're meant to survive because we don't want to know the truth. Now, I don't mean I'm a conspiracy theorist. I just don't know the truth. I don't think we're going to ever know the truth about these two guys that defended these bombs in Boston and who their support backup is. Because I'm convinced they're not acting alone. They're acting with a lot of support. So that's my belief. Until otherwise, I'm going to stay sick of that. So I trust you guys to handle the rest. Thank you.
Well, Terry, thank you for calling in tonight. We appreciate hearing from you. Call in anytime. And we appreciate all the good points you made, and we appreciate all the hard work you're doing for conservatism.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah. Please call in anytime, Terry.
Yeah, we cover a lot of ground tonight, and I'm pretty much in the same boat, and I think all four of us have the same kind of mindset. I don't know what's right, what's truth, what's not. You know, I've had my eye on this thing since the bomb went off. There's a lot of things that bother me about it, but one thing I do know is that, you know, and a lot of people don't understand this about 9/11, but there was a lot of people under investigation, they were under watch lists. I mean, we let this country get filled up with all kinds of sleeper cells. It goes to hell. You know, everybody's freaking out. They go in and they moved about 200 cells out of this country, you know, very quietly under the cloak of darkness. You know, people never hear about that kind of stuff. So they, you know, everybody's, the thing that just blows me away is the watching the way people react to everything instead of, you know, looking at it going, that's a point, that makes sense, that doesn't make sense, and I wonder about this. You know, just keeping your mind clear and open and not getting caught up in all the minutia and the conspiracies, and you know, bottom line is we'll probably never know the truth. Just common sense says that, you know, I mean, they even had to admit it, that they had looked at him before, that the Russian government had said, you got a problem with this guy, you know, and they blew it. And I was thinking, you know, the thing that a couple of things that really bothered me was and I understand the celebration, but I don't understand it because it just seems so misplaced. And considering the fact that, you know, this was a known potential threat and it slipped the system again, just like the frickin' 9/11 hijackers slipped the system again and people got killed and millions of dollars were spent and everybody freaked out and it seized our country emotionally, spiritually, and wasted a lot of time and money and lives and limbs. And here we are, right back to the beginning, and we don't have a damn clue, and we're letting bad people in our country, and we're actually inviting them in and paying them to be here. And, you know, it's just insane. It can't keep going like this. That's, I think, the part that I really is disheartening sometimes, because I don't see our government in almost anything, you know, since 9/11, That gives me confidence that they're making smart moves. The wars, who we fund, funding rebels, who are the same people that are killing our men in Afghanistan. I mean, you just got to come to a point where you just go, are we frippin' insane, or is there just a sinister, terrible plot at hand, or both? Who knows? But it's just crazy. I've never seen such a concentration of misinformation and confusion and just absolute insanity in my lifetime. I'm done.
Thanks, Chris. Tex, you want to wrap it up with a bow and then I'll bring it home?
Yeah, sure. You know, I think the issue of of what went on in Boston. It represents a potentially, and that's hopefully it doesn't, but you know, a bad escalation in the, you know, sort of war on terror, at least terrorism's war on the United States. If that type of thing becomes a repeated action in the U.S., I mean, that's going to be a terrible country to live in. But if you look at, you know, what happened with like Oklahoma City bombing or something like that, that's not something that was ever really repeated. So just because this happened, I think people are jumping to conclusions that, oh my God, this is going to be the new normal. Let's hope that's not the case when we have some rogue actors here. Maybe they had some backing, but, you know, maybe this isn't going to be like the new trend. And I think that's what a lot of people are worried about. But secondarily, I mean, this is a horrible event. It's tragic. It's awful. Almost unthinkable. But just because it's a terrible events happen all the time. They happen quite frequently, but we don't need to throw away the rule of law in order to address these. And that really is, you know, one of the main concerns. Now, I think the first responders and, you know, the people in uniform who were there, they responded properly. And I think even the people who were going sort of house to house trying to find these people, they were doing the best job that they knew how. And they successfully located these people and they eventually, you know, got them. So that's something that's a blessing, something we should all be happy about. You know, the question is sort of precedent and that kind of thing. And at what price, you know, do you apprehend these people? But thus far, I think everything has been, you know, above board. I think everything's been okay. You know, and we found these people and this issue of the Miranda rights and all that kind of stuff, as I said, repeatedly, is kind of irrelevant because you always have the right to remain silent. And so whether they read them as rights now or later doesn't matter because, look, even in the Middle Ages, if you were under the Inquisition, they put you on the rack. Guess what? You could have just shut up if you wanted to. You know, you always have the right to remain silent. You don't even need a legal right to remain silent. You just don't say anything, right? I mean, you talk about your God-given rights right there. You don't have to say anything. So, you know, I think that's kind of a, I don't know, non-issue in a way. But when you look at these events, there's not a legal solution to them. And that's something that I think a lot of people need to understand. There's not a political solution to this. There's not a legal solution, a law that can be enacted that will prevent this. And this is just part of the chaos of life. And so, yes, you have these terrible people out there who do horrible, terrible things, but you don't need to go run and say, oh, there ought to be a law. There is a law, you know. You don't do these things. But people who think like this don't act under the same strictures that you and I do. So going and acting a bunch of legislation is not going to do anything about it. And I think that's kind of what, you know, we've been trying to talk about this evening. So I guess that's my concluding thought.
All right. You can check out Tex and Rex in archives by going to our Blog Talk radio page, The Tex and Rex Show. All our shows are available. You can right-click the download link button under the show icon and get an MP3 that you can email or burn on a CD and give to people. Get the information out there because we have to reclaim this country under constitutional principles, and the only way it's going to happen is if you wake up the unaware, frightened, and apathetic public. Also, please like our Facebook page, The Tex and Rex Show, and you will get notifications in your news feed of broadcast times and associated articles and links that are on the show. Generally, we broadcast 10 p.m. Eastern on Sundays and more often when necessary leading up to party conventions or rules meetings or something like that. As we started the show with a little Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy reference, I'll say it again. Don't panic. Keep your head about you. The conservative principles that are enshrined in liberal documents, chiefly the Declaration of Independence and the U.S. Constitution, are worth preserving. They are worth fighting for. And don't let your fear, whether it's inspired by a government false flag or Muslim jihadists or crazy homicidal maniacs, don't let your fear get the better of you and, you know, allow opportunistic politicians to do things that are extra constitutional. The very simple fact is this was a horrible, tragic event. It touched all of us. It reminded us of September 11th. It reminded us that maybe we're not safe. The thing to keep in mind is that after spending trillions of dollars and building a police state apparatus in the Department of Homeland Defense, which was a Republican-created problem that has been put on steroids by Democrats, is not the answer. That doesn't mean that we don't take reasonable security measures, but it does mean that they can never keep you totally safe. Life is risk. Be a big boy, big girl, and you deal with that. But liberty is so precious that you don't throw it away for the false pretext of security. The simple fact is that this was a relatively weak and amateurish, quote, terrorist attack. Something stinks about it. We don't know what. The information hasn't come out. Maybe it never will. But just don't jump to conclusions in fear, okay? Keep your head about you. The simple fact is the aftermath of this event is probably even more important than what may have led up to it. The fact is that Dzhokhar Tsarnaev is in custody thanks to the homeowner and the owner of the boat that he was hiding in, tipping off the cops, not necessarily due to the massive dragnet that was put in place, which I've never seen before to find one fugitive. There might be connections with international terrorists or not. I don't know. The very simple fact is that there is no immediate requirement to Mirandize this guy. If he has information to prevent an additional attack, he should be interrogated and asked about it. But you have to be careful that they don't fabricate something. And the most important thing is that no matter what, the prosecution of this American citizen, whether he did this, didn't do this, you like him, you don't like him, it doesn't matter. The simple fact is he is an American citizen, and he has the full protection of due process and has to be given to him. He has to be given every right that is afforded to every American, because if we take it away from one, then it can be taken away from all. So don't let your emotions get the better of you. And what Rand Paul was talking about in his filibuster about drones wasn't about drones. It was about this very thing, the Fifth Amendment. No American may be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. And that is very, very important, because our fundamental rights are guaranteed by the Constitution to protect us principally from our own government. Your government cannot really protect you from criminals, whether they be international terrorists, local gangs, burglars, homicidal maniacs, rapists, whatever. The police power of the government is designed to respond to crimes, and the justice system is designed to prosecute them. That's why we have laws. But the protection is your responsibility, which is why when they try to take away your Second Amendment rights, it's a problem, because that is your first responder, your own firearm that you keep yourself, that you use responsibly to defend yourself, your property, your family, and your fellow Americans. So when a government is seeking to take away your weapons, when it's supporting terrorists that hate our country overseas, and it is inviting people into this country, whether legally or illegally, who don't like us and want to cause havoc, we have a problem. And that problem can only be stopped by you. Act locally, get your states to nullify extra-constitutional federal laws, open up ballot access so that real conservative and real libertarian candidates have more access than just the duopoly. But on the federal level, what you need to do is you need to identify those true conservatives, like Rand Paul, Ted Cruz, Justin Amash, support them instead of nitpicking on small issues where they have to play the game of politics in Washington. Look at the broad issues of liberty and the Constitution that they are supporting, and send reinforcements. There's elections in New Jersey and Virginia this year. Next year is 2014 midterms, very important, because if you lose the House, either having the RINOs reclaim it or you lose it to the Democrats, the last 2 years of Obama's administration will be the biggest nightmare you've ever seen. But if you send in conservative reinforcements, then you can start to reclaim your country back. It took us 100 years to get to this point. It ain't going to turn around overnight. But don't panic, because it's up to you. You can make it happen. You have the power. You just need to wake up the rest of the people who are asleep or afraid. And don't let future terrorist acts, because they are going to happen, whether they be false flags or real attacks is irrelevant. They're going to happen. Don't let them get the better of you, and don't let them convince you to give up your liberty, because this country was founded on a basic proposition that you have unalienable rights to life, liberty, and property, and that's something worth fighting for. We'll see you next week. This is Texan Rex, signing off.
Flames of Liberty will never die.